United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credit.
Kim Baker resigned.
Let's go! talk show that's things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Today is the last day. Is today the last day? Tomorrow's the last day.
Today's not the last day. Yeah, tomorrow's the last day. Hi, Tracy.
The second to the last day of January. 30 days, half September, April, June, and November. All the rest are 31 except for February, which is...
Huh?
Don't you remember that? You didn't
remember
that?
I remember. I say it every time because I never can remember how many numbers are in the month. I can't remember my name half the time.
So right now we're on...
Today's the 30th.
30th.
And my birthday was last week.
I know.
I'm so excited. I was 48.
And holding.
My wife made me this wonderful birthday cake. It's an Italian rum cake, and, you know, she has to make the sponge cake, and she has to make the custard, and then the chocolate custard, and then you get the rum and you pour it all over, because you don't drink, and I put a half a bottle of whiskey on it.
Mark.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, you're supposed to bring people's cakes. You know, you're supposed to share your birthday cake with people. You make a wish.
Yes.
You get the first slice.
Yes. And I got the second slice and the third slice and the fourth slice and the fifth slice.
Mark.
Yes, ma'am.
You're supposed to what makes the birthday great is that you share the birthday cake.
Yes.
With everyone else, even people that you don't know. You go in a restaurant, you just pass out cake.
Yes. Not my rum cake. That's mine.
No, that's not yours. How have you been?
I've been good.
It seems like so long since I've seen you.
Well, you know, you were, you know, indisposed for a while, and then I was on with Jeff last week.
I'm so sorry about that.
Well, I had a great time. Jeff and I had that was a good show. We had some wonderful conversation with some folks about foreign relations, and that's the really good thing about this show is that when you're talking, you never know where the conversation is going to go.
That is true. It has its way of going almost anywhere.
Yeah.
That is true. It takes on a life of its own. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I've got a young friend, a friend of mine that's going to come on, and she has written a book called My Name is Judah, and her name is Pamela Davis Mack. And she'll be on with us in about 10 minutes. And Mark and I are just going to sit around here and talk, and we're not going to talk about anything deep because when Pam comes on, it's going to be a quiet moment. We're going to talk about some wonderful things about giving God praise and teaching your children good morals and values. And preparing them for the future, because if you don't prepare them for the future, you're going to deal with it in the future. And then I have Dandridge
Turner. Book. You gave me a copy of this book.
It's a beautiful book.
Beautiful.
And then I have Annette Dindy. She's going to come on from Dandridge Burgundy Manor, which is a skilled nursing facility. And we're going to talk about senior care. And those of us who are now 48 and holding, we need to start paying attention to, senior care of our own as well as for our parents. Because I think this is one of the first generations that we're going to have to start really paying attention to our parents. And you don't want to always put all your parents in the nursing home. I just want everybody to know that. That's just not cool. You just don't drop them off and leave them there. But then I'm going to tell all of us that you need to start planning for where you want to go if something should happen that you should have to go. Because sometimes it does come to the place where you need to go somewhere. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. So the number is 347-945-5229. Mark, what else have you been up to?
I have been doing all sorts of things, and I have been doing my arts and culture thing this past couple of weeks, which has been lots of fun, and I've been doing my club thing, which has been not so much fun, but... you go out there and we're meeting people and we're talking to people and it is just wonderful. People don't understand when you get involved in the community. Everybody needs to go out and get involved in the community and to work hard because we all, no matter what your political persuasion, at least here in Mahoning County, this is where we all live. And it's been fun to get out there and meet lots of different people and do lots of different things.
I look at this and, I'm all about preparing for the future. We need to, when we go and work out in the community, we need to take our children with us.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we do.
I agree.
I don't think we look out for our children. I don't think we take our children seriously. And I don't think we prepare them to give back. We don't teach that anymore. No matter what socioeconomic status you're in, I don't think we put it on the forefront of our agenda. We tell them to go make money. We tell them to go and, be successful, go to school, get an education. But we don't tell them, with all that, if you don't give back, you don't give anything.
We're both you're currently at Rotary, and I'm a former Rotarian. And when you put service above self, it's really a good thing, and it pays you back in ways you can't possibly begin to know. I belong in one organization, and these folks, I'm the oldest. I'm the oldest potato in the bag. It's just most of these folks are 20 years younger than me. And in the past 2 weeks, I've gotten to know them a little bit better. They call up and they want to chat and get a different perspective on things and see how they view life and what they're doing. And there's some just really wonderful, great people out there, especially here in Mahoning County.
I'm not biased.
People who move here sometimes look at me and they're a little bit skeptical because we tend to be tough. But you know what? We're good, honest people. And we work hard, and it's hard to we've had some tough times here in the Mahoning Valley, and it shows in our attitudes. But, we
Mark,
are able to sit down and have dinner together,
Mark,
and I think that's great.
I think you've been drinking that Barack Obama Kool-Aid.
No, I haven't. I'll tell you why.
I said I wasn't going to do anything right.
No, it's not Barack Obama Kool-Aid. It is a firm belief that, you have to give. And I'm going to tell you the difference between conservatives like you and me.
Okay.
Who go out and we freely give of ourselves.
Yeah.
And we work for the community, and we don't. You do much more than you let on to folks that you do, and there's a Jewish phrase that's a mitzvah that you go out and do things just for the good of the order.
But isn't that what you're supposed to do?
That's what you're supposed to do, but the other side doesn't get it half the time. We're viewed as cruel, cold people, and yet if you look at my donated time to the organizations I belong into, since I came back here in 1975, I've been involved with all sorts of things, and it comes back to you, and it comes back to the community, and that's a really good thing.
It is, and as I said, it's a learned behavior.
Cool.
You've got to teach it. If you don't teach it, it won't happen on its own.
I can tell him, my progeny, he's got to get out there and get active in the community.
That guy, he's a good guy.
I know he is.
He's a good guy.
I know he is. I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
You know that now, Tracy.
Yeah, he's a good, yeah. Why are you in trouble?
He's cherche la femme.
He's a good kid. He was raised right. Hey, listen, I see where Pam has called in, and so I'm going to pull her up. Pam, hand me that book over there so I can make sure I can get this right.
There we go.
Pamela Denise Mack, she is an attorney in Michigan.
Okay.
And we go to the same church. We go to Perfecting Church in Detroit, Michigan. And her husband is over our political, I want to say it's political affairs, the department of our church, and we get into some serious conversations, and she has written a book called My Name is Judah. Hi, Pam, how are you?
Good morning, Tracy. How are you?
I'm well. How are you? Good. Welcome to Tracy and Friends.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Tell your husband he has to come on, too, one day and just fight with us.
Oh, he's up for a good battle at any time, I'm telling you.
But tell him I'm a. Something is wrong. Pam, hold on just a second, okay?
Sure.
Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor, Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austintown designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229. Or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyAndFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
I will praise you while I can.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. You got to excuse me for that. I had scheduled a show, but I scheduled it not long enough, and it was getting ready to cut everybody off. So I'm sorry about that, Pam.
No problem.
So how is everything? Are you warm enough up there? How's your weather up there?
It's very cold.
It's cold here, too. It's kind of bad.
It's very cold.
But at least you guys know how to drive in it.
Yes, we do. I mean, I think we do. But, you know, sometimes judging by the number of accidents on the freeway and slips and slides and you have to wonder if people just forget from year to year. But it's okay.
So, Pamela, tell us a little bit about you, because a lot of people don't know who you are. And tell us how you came to write My Name is Judah.
What an interesting story. So I'm a practicing attorney. I've been practicing for over 20 years. I am a corporate attorney. I work for a corporation, an international corporation with about 40 that operates in 44 countries. I have responsibility for North America, South America, Latin America, Canada. Well, that includes North America and Asia Pac. So I'm quite busy. I very much enjoy what I do. I'm a corporate attorney, and so I'm involved in a number of corporate transactions, and I spent most of my career, you know, operating in that sphere. And how I came to write My Name is Judah is a very interesting story. So as you're aware, every January our church engages in a what's called a consecration, where, you know, we spend several days just praying and fasting. And so about, I can't even remember actually how long ago it was, perhaps 8-9 years ago, after a prayer session, I just, you know, sat up. And this book just, you know, I say it just came to me, I mean, from start to finish. And so I jotted it down. I, you know, stored it in a manuscript version and then just kind of sat on it, thought, what do I do with this? I'm certainly not a trained writer or never had really had any inclination to write a book. And so I just sort of sat on it, and then probably a couple of years ago really felt that it was time to move on it. But I had no illustrator, again, because this is not my line of work. I went about trying to, you know, find people to illustrate the book, but I really felt an urgency to get it out. And so, you know, God works many times. I was researching, because I'm sort of a tech guru. I love technology. So I was looking for the best apps for my iPad and came across a listing of the best websites, the 100 best websites. So I went fishing through, and I came across a website that works with a number of freelance graphic artists, and principally they create logos, or they create, you know, primarily just logos, brochures, and things like that. But I saw that there were some artists that created book covers. And so, I mean, sort of the rest is history. I identified through it's a wonderful website. You can get graphic artists, people to engage with you from all over the world. I had artists from South America, from Brazil, from Eastern Bloc countries. I ended up, after looking at several different designs, selecting someone from Serbia. And
really?
You can see, yes, her name is Jelena. And we were able to, I was, you know, basically what I did was I told her what I wanted the principal character to be. I told her that I wanted the other children in the book to be multiracial. I told them, you know, I gave her the ethnicities and essentially gave her the scenes, but the illustrations are all hers. I mean, I gave her, you know, tweaks now and then. But essentially what you see in that book is what she came up with, and I think she did quite a nice job.
Can you give us the website or the app that you
sure,
found?
Sure, it's called 99designs.com.
There you are, Mark.
There we go.
Mark Mangi, who is my co-host for the day.
Hi, Pam.
Hi, Mark.
He just got done saying.
I'm an attorney too, Pam.
Oh, is that right? We do other things. We are more interesting than people think we are.
I keep telling, but nobody buys it, Pam.
Yes, you guys are. And I was telling him that you were coming on, and he said, you know, when his son was younger, that he had written a lot of books, children's books. And he said, and he kept on asking me, "Who's illustrated this?" I'm like, "I don't know."
I can't pronounce her last name. Her name is Jelena, and she wanted everyone to know that she was from Serbia. I asked her, I said, "Can I put your picture?" She said, "No need to include my picture, but let them know that I'm from Serbia." And she's just done a fantastic job.
Before we go,
this is a beautiful book.
It is a beautiful book. Tell us about it. You know, because I mean, and, you know, when I saw it, you know, when I see My Name is Judah before I read it, I know what Judah meant, and it's all about this young boy's name.
Right. And so the book is about a little boy who everyone, when they see the cover, thinks is my son. And you know, he's quite proud because he thinks that's him as well. It's about a little boy with a unique name. And Judah in Hebrew means praise. And so he, you know, the scene opens with his mom coming in and waking him up and saying, hey, you know, wake up, Judah. It's time to go outside, and maybe you can meet some new friends today. So, you know, either Judah is in a new neighborhood. It's presumed that he's in a new neighborhood and he doesn't have any friends yet. And so, you know, he meets these children. He meets an Asian, a little girl named Susie, a Hispanic boy named Jorge, and a Caucasian boy whose name is Tom. And he arrives, you know, they're all playing outside, and he introduces himself, and he says, hi, you know, my name is Judah, what's your name? And so the children are very curious about his name. He shares what his name means, and he shares that because of his name, he likes to praise God, and he teaches the children to praise, and they have fun, and that's essentially the entire story.
When I read it, you know, I sat down and I said, "Wow!" And it gives a witness that to a child that no matter how old or how young he is, he can be a witness to his friends.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. And I'll share a story that, you know, so my mother-in-law has been really sharing the book, and it's a very interesting tale. It's funny. She got a Facebook post from one of her friends who purchased the book, and she said, I have a great story. You know, I had a wonderful moment with my granddaughter, and she was looking at the book that was on her grandmother's coffee table, and she said, what's this, Grandma? And she said, oh, it's a new book that I bought. Let's read it together. And her granddaughter loves to read. She comes across the name, you know, Jorge, and she says, what kind of name is this? And the grandmother says, I don't know, let's look it up. So they looked it up, and they pronounced the, you know, learned to pronounce the name, which is spelled J-O-R-G-E. And the little girl says, oy vey. She said, Jorge, Judah. She said, Judah, and Judah is the name that's odd. And it was just, she said, it was a wonderful moment, and they had a very good time. And they, you know, danced around, and they praised. And you're right, it does provide an opportunity for even the smallest of children. And if you know, Tracy, you've been in church and you've seen our little, you've seen the children
yes.
in our church.
Yes, I have.
And yes, so they learn at a very early age that it's appropriate and good to praise God.
You know, because I looked at this and I looked at the diversity of it, and I found it to be very, very embracive, because you touched the majority of nationalities, and you made sure that they were illuminated and highlighted, so that people understand that, you know, prejudice is no longer allowed if you teach unity and oneness.
Sure, and I think one of the other subtle points of the book is that the issue of nationality never came up. I mean, children were already playing together. The interesting thing was the name.
And when you look at other cultures, they do have different names. I mean, it's just completely different. Their last names are different. Their first names are different. And they eat rice, and they cook rice differently.
Sure.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, sure. You know, my son has a very old and probably one of the first books published by Dr. Seuss, and it's a wonderful book called Come Over to My House. And it was my husband's favorite book when he was a young boy. And the book is all about going to different parts of the world. It's a very expensive book now. I mean, it's probably a collector's item right now, but essentially it's about little children going to other children's homes all over the world, big houses, small houses, grand houses, poor houses, houses outside, you know, places to play on roofs, houses on water. And, again, you see the multicultural aspect of it. I mean, years ago, my husband is now 40, and so you can see even back when Dr. Seuss was first writing, you know, kids are just kids. You know, they don't come in with any prejudices. They just, you know, they're just here. They just want to have fun.
That's
right.
All.
They just want to play, you know, wherever they are all over the world.
Where can we buy your book?
You can buy it in two. You can actually buy it on Amazon.com under My Name is Judah. Or you can look up my name, Pamela Denise Mack. It'll pop up.
And so if you go to Amazon.com and type in My Name is Judah, I will find this. How much is it?
It is $12.95.
That's all?
That's it. That's it. I mean, you know, pardon me?
It's you know, you look at this, and, you know, in a world today that is so cynical and so awful, to give children something to look at that's for kids, teaching good values,
yeah,
how to get along, good Christian attitudes towards things. It's tough to find these things today. They're not there.
That is true.
They're not. And then when you also see the counter influence that is seeking to influence our children, it's everywhere. It's on Disney. It's in schools. There is a very strong message that's out there that does not teach good values, in my opinion. And so as a counterbalance to that, you know, I think that kids should be kids. They should learn to, they should be free to, as we were as children, enjoy themselves, have fun, not worry about the very weighty issues that are facing our country right now, or they should not be concerned with, you know, things that the culture is really trying to push at them at very young ages about sexuality, things that should never be coming up at an age of 5, 6, 7, 8. So I really do hope that this is an opportunity to, you know, one step toward, you know, helping our kids maintain their innocence and, you know, a sense of joy and fun.
Because I read the book, and it's an easy read. It's a nice afternoon read for a young child.
It's a nice read for an adult. I'm serious. This is wonderful. I don't know. You get some of these children's stuff, and you kind of renew yourself and give you faith again from some of the stuff that I learned growing up that you just don't see today.
Right.
Because I can see myself as a kid actually doing what these kids are doing.
Right, they're having fun.
I see that, you know, they're dancing. Because I mean, we were outside and we would play red light, green light. We would play go and hide and seek and all that. And you can see, you know, when you looked at talking about praise and lifting up your arms and jumping up and down, and you can see that.
Yes.
Or at least I could.
And you know, again, for a time when children could actually play outside. Where they're just playing outside, they're on the sidewalk, jumping rope, and the conclusion of the book, at the end of the book, you can see that they've been playing all day until the sun is going down. You know, when is the last time kids really had the freedom? In many neighborhoods, they don't, you know, people feel a little bit nervous about letting their kids just, you know, hang out on the sidewalk, but these kids are free. They're playing jump rope, they're dancing around, and they're doing it until, you know, when I was a kid, it was get in when the street lights
came on.
And so this is sort of a hearkening back to that time.
Hold on just a second. Alabama, your mic is on.
Yeah, I agree with the guest.
Okay, tape mic, Alabama. Turn off that,
okay,
that,
is that better?
Cheap Bluetooth. Yeah.
Okay. I agree with your guest. The Disney's bringing out a character with two moms. I just don't feel like at you know 5 and 6 and you know 8 years old, you need to be teaching a child about homosexuality, about different things. I mean, it's just really, you know, sad. And I mean, a lot of these little girls want to be like Beyonce. And I mean, you know, I got 50 million reasons why I don't like her. But I mean, it's just sad. It was just going down the tubes, and you know, this moral relativism. That's why I hate when they get to talking about Martin Luther King. Because I'm just sitting like, he talked about getting judged by the content of your character. You don't want to be judged at all. These people don't want any judge at all. I do whatever I want to do, and don't call me wrong. Don't say it. So it's sad, and I think this country's headed towards judgment. And I hate to, part of me wants to see it. I hate to say it like that because I feel like we deserve it the way we're, you know, and I'm not getting into what we've done internationally, but just on what we're doing with our culture, our society, where it's headed. Even if you're an atheist, I'm not even trying to dog. Yeah, I mean, I know atheists, they got more values than a lot of these people out here that profess to be Christian or that profess to be whatever. We're just going down a tube. I really think so.
Alabama, I want you to be nice today, okay? Just for the first hour. Okay.
Here's the thing. When she was just talking a second ago, when she talked, that's what I hear. This is, you know, that people, when someone says something, I work for Auburn University. We went to this thing for sensitivity training or whatever they call it, not training, but there's this guy, a homosexual guy was over this department at the university. He's talking about being sensitive to other cultures. He really wasn't. He was just talking about, you know, let's hate the Christian culture, let's hate. I mean, we gotta stop being nice, because that's what, I ain't gonna say nice, but we gotta stop being blind to what's really going on. These people are purposeful. They admit, look, we're after your children's minds, your children's hearts, and we can't just say, okay, he's a baby. Then they go to school, they tell them how to have anal sex. They teaching them kids, these kids way different, on a different level. They're thinking way different than we are. We're thinking, you know, these are babies, and I'm telling you, man, I mean, these kids out here not smoking weed in the first and second grade, it's just getting crazy out here. I mean, look at the president. Hey, I mean, we ain't going to go there, but look at what he just said about marijuana.
Hey, Pam, you see what you get yourself into when you come on the show at 9 in the morning?
Well, look, I'd like to say something.
Surprised.
I'm not. But to the caller's point.
I want to tell you what your friend's doing here, Pam. Your friend Tracy here is filling me with liquor-filled chocolate.
No, I'm not. No,
which
I'm not.
I need at this show at 9 in the morning.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. There's some chocolate that came in from Brussels.
From Brussels.
Tracy, yes. The guest was about to say something. Let the guest say, well, she was about to say something.
Well, I'd like to say this to your guest point, and you know, I will keep it light, but I have everybody knows about Jeremiah James. He is one of the loves of my life. He's my 6-year-old, and I am concerned about the stealing of innocence. I think that children, be it homosexuality or over-sexualization that is taking place in commercial TV and on TV, period, I think that's damaging to young minds, be it, you know, the Disney Channel with the same-sex moms, or when I'm watching just regular TV and Victoria's Secret models are on half-dressed and my son has to put his hands to his eyes. I have a concern about that. I have a concern about all of it. And,
you're a mom, and I'm not a mom, but you're a mom. I'm watching this, and I'm watching, you know, we used to see, how many years did you sit down and watch the Grammys?
Oh, my gosh.
That was disgusting.
And you watched it with your children. I mean, we sat down with our parents. We only had 3 channels, and so we all watched it together.
Right.
I mean, can you imagine sitting down with your son this past weekend and watching the Grammys?
No. I stopped watching it a long time ago because it just gives. I mean, that's what happens when you have reprobate minds. Because what was interesting is we're so dumbed down to the over sexualization of things that most Christians and conservatives blew right past the first scene. They blew right past it. The opening with Beyonce, they blew right past it and focused in on the wedding because we've dumbed down. You know, that an opening scene with someone half-dressed in a over-sexualized way is no longer, you know, we just think, oh, you
know. It's no longer shocking.
And it's no longer shocking. Well, it's all. I mean, those shows anymore, they're certainly not. I can remember watching the Grammys and seeing Michael Jackson and others up, you know, being entertained and not having to, you know, cover your eyes or turn the channel because of the bleeping and the swearing. But, you know, those are the values that are now on display, and there has to be a countervailing voice. There has to be, or else we're going to be silenced. There has to be somebody standing up and saying, you know, let our children be innocent until they can process, until we've been able to instill our own values and they can process what they're seeing, what they're experiencing through a lens that has been, through a filtered lens after the parents and those with some values have been able to help our kids to understand what's going on.
Hey, listen, I got to take a break. Hold on, guys. I'll be right back. Alabama, please, take off that cheap Bluetooth and talk to Pam while I'm on my break. I'll be right back.
Okay. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. My thing is, how many times have we seen, I mean, Madonna came out.
Oh, my God.
It's so many sex acts on stage. I mean, you're not really shocking us anymore. Like, I really think there's a lack of creativity. These artists, to where it's just nobody's really calling them out. Like, okay, we've seen Madonna spread her legs. We've seen Britney Spears spread her legs, you know, 15, 20 years later. Or now it's your turn. Every artist that comes out, Katy Perry came out, was supposed to be a Christian artist. Now she doing a witchcraft scene on stage. This is getting ridiculous. Like, it's just... And then nobody calls them out. Like, you're not really doing anything. I guess you're supposed to be Joan of Arc, but you're not really doing anything. And then you have a wedding ceremony for men and women. It's just separate. It's just like, I'm like, man, this is sad. This is what we've come to. And I think that it's not their place. It's just like, I don't know your political leanings, but you cut Tom Joyner on, he's trying to make sure that he keeps the low information voters, by saying some of the things he says and leaning and pointing everyone who doesn't agree with the Democrat ideals is somehow an atheist. Or, I mean, Uncle Tom, every black person, or every, I think that's lazy. I think it's lazy to sit up here and call us close-minded for wanting to have values and wanting to have certain morals and standards and beliefs. We're not close-minded. We all enjoy sex. We all enjoy these things. But let's not just take it and ram it down kids' throats. You can't even watch the Grammys with a child.
No, you can't watch most things with children.
I mean, you really can't watch the Super Bowl halftime show nowadays.
It's sad.
And I have a major issue with people, these artists who profess certain faiths, but their lifestyles are just, they spew out everything they can to lead people astray. I mean, Beyonce is on her album talking about little girls don't value marriage and don't value a family. And I'm like, you hypocrite. You got a wife you got a husband and a daughter. And I guarantee if you didn't have that, you'd be longing for it, just like everybody else. But now you're pushing these girls to be so career or whatever, I guess, to be more womanly. More powerful, whatever, but that's not really a woman. That's going to keep you single. Listen to Beyonce, listen to the words of her lyrics and trying to live what she's saying, it's going to keep you single, going to keep you, and it's really, you know, I feel like a lot of this stuff is population control. I mean, you can go back and trace back to when they had the Black Panthers and
we could cut straight to the chase. It's the world being the world. I don't know why we're surprised. I mean, things are just going to get progressively.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. And I've got a friend of mine on with me, and she's my sister in Christ, and I've known her and her husband for a number of years now. And she's written a book, and it's called My Name is Judah, and her name is Pamela Denise Mack, and she is an attorney by trade. But God has impressed upon her heart to write a book, and it's very, very well illustrated. It's just a good...
It's a beautiful book.
It's a good read. It's a good book. And it teaches your child, things that we grew up with, which is good value.
It assumes we all get along. These kids are playing together and having a good time together.
We do until we corrupt them.
There was a song in South Pacific. If you remember the song, "You've Got to Be Taught to Hate."
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah, and pulled it up sometime and listened to it. And it certainly goes. I mean, this illustrates, what happens in our society. The other thing that's interesting, what we have to do in living today is the role of the parent or parents is extremely important, more so than ever before, as we have to guide our children through things over which we have no control.
Let me tell you what.
We don't have any control of what's on the media. We don't have any control of what they're going to put on TV. You and I have talked a number of times, Tracy, about when my son was small, and that was the time of the Clinton scandals were going on. And we're sitting at the breakfast table watching the Today Show, and he says to me, "Dad, what stain was on the dress?" Now, how do you explain that to somebody who really wasn't really old enough to have it explained to, and yet it was on TV all day long, through every newscast, and it was talked about on the newspapers, and it was probably talked about in the schools. And to try to explain these things in that kind of environment, so finally I just kind of gave in, and we had a very strong facts of life talk when he was way too young for it.
I have a question for Pam and for you. Alabama, do you have children?
I'm scared to have kids. I'm going to have to move over in another country to pop out some kids. It's just, it's sad. I really am. Because I'm going to tell my kids what to believe. I'm going to tell them, look, this is what it is. I'm not going to let them make their own choices like some of these parents out here do. The world is not thinking like that.
Alabama, let me ask Pam a question. Hold up. Pam, how, because your son, Jeremiah, I mean, how old is he now?
He's 6.
How do you raise him in a world that is foreign to even us and still, make him well-rounded and so that he can thrive?
Sure. So Jeremiah is 6. His parents, we routinely we serve in church. He goes to children's church, so he is learning things there. It is my job. I do agree with Alabama. It's my job to impress upon Jeremiah what our values are. It's a scary time, but it's also a very good opportunity for Jeremiah to be light. It is not the job of the school or anyone else, or principally the church, to instill Christian values in Jeremiah. It is the job of the parent. And I remember when I was a young child and things would come up that were way above my head or anything that I should be considering at the time, I remember my grandmother and my mother telling me, that's grown folks' business. And sometimes I feel that, there are some times when Jeremiah asks me things and I'll say, go out of the room. These are adults that are talking. At 5 and 6, that's the time to say, look, you need to go out. These are adult issues. We will revisit them. I understand that some of, as he gets a little bit older, some of it he's going to hear from school. But our job is to instill our values, to tell him what is right and wrong, and then he should be able to, at an age-appropriate time, we'll explain more, and then he'll be able to understand. I mean, the opportunity here is for Jeremiah to be light, right, in a very dark world.
You're saying it is up for him to be light, L-I-G-H-T, not liked.
That's right, L-I-G-H-T. Meaning
he's supposed to be a light
in a very dark
world.
That's right. He needs to, I mean, even at a, yeah, I mean, at a very young age, he needs, he understands the difference between right and wrong in the respect that there shouldn't be bullying. If he sees another kid being bullied, he has an opportunity as a leader. And you know his dad, Tracy, so you know that Richard is instilling leadership in him to say, to step up and say, no, that's not right, that's wrong, and to protect kids that are, you know, more vulnerable. He gets that at a young age because that's something we've instilled in him. And as he grows older, you know, more age-appropriate, we'll introduce more age-appropriate content, and then he'll, you know, hopefully he'll take that and continue to be light. And we have to teach him at a very young age to stand up, because we know that as he gets older, things I don't believe are going to get better. They're going to get worse, and he's going to have to be able to stand up and say, no, I don't care what the school system says. I don't care what Disney Channel says or anyone else. This is not right. So, you know, you just do the best you can.
Hey, man, I agree with you. I feel like a child is supposed to be aimed like an arrow. I don't think we should just let them just make – I've seen parents say that, and, it, yeah, I let them make their own choice. I'm like, yeah, but Ellen is not, and Disney is not. They're coming in, look, this is wrong. This is close-minded. This is stupid. Christians are stupid, and this is you. Every movie you cut on, that's what it's going to be. And every time you, you know, when you see us, we're righteous. We're being persecuted. Nobody's really messing with gays for real. That doesn't happen. It's not even recorded. When you cut the TV on, everybody's messed with because they're gay. Everybody's messed with because they want to do something that's wrong.
Alabama, you're breaking up. When I asked her the question, I knew the answer, but I wanted her to get it out because I've watched her with her child and with her family and with her husband. And when I saw the book and I know what her principles are and I know what she's been taught and what she teaches, and it's important for us as adults, whether we have children, whether we be grandparents or whether we be parents ourselves, to understand it is the responsibility of the parent to teach the child and to indoctrinate the child and to brainwash the child in that which God has given you. Because
exactly.
If you do not do that, before you let your child leave your house, I promise you, Elder Winans, who is Pop Winans, used to say, if you don't indoctrinate your children when they go off to school, if you give them 3 years in an institution of higher learning, they will come back with somebody that you do not know.
That's true. But if you
and I'm watching it.
Right, but if you indoctrinate them properly, think of the impact. I mean, I think that, you know, Christians and those with strong, you know, moral values feel that, you know, sometimes feel like we just need to throw up our hands and retreat and go into our own little, you know, caves and, you know, communicate and just socialize with each other so that we can keep the stain of the world off of us or the influence of you know, what feels like a bombardment of just horrible values on us. But it should, the opposite should be true. We should be so well prepared as we go out that we influence the culture because, you know, as attractive and as attractive and alluring and fun as all of that looks, behind all of it, behind a lot of it for the people who are engaging in it is a lot of emptiness. And
absolutely.
So who better should be prepared to say, hey, I was in that world or I was in the world before or I was partying before, I had these values before, and now I have something different. And I want to share that with you so you can, too, have the peace or joy or real satisfaction that comes without all of the things that you're trying to, you know, pile on to make yourself feel better. So I think it's a good opportunity. Again, My Name is Judah is just an opportunity for parents to have some reflective time with kids, for, you know, to hearken back to a time when certainly we did those things. And Tracy, if you don't mind, I just want to talk about one of the other roles that I have is I am the founder of a foundation called Jeremiah's House. And sure. Okay, if you don't mind. It's a wonderful organization. What we do is we fund private adoptions. And it came about, as you know, my son Jeremiah is adopted. We adopted him at a very young age. He was just a couple weeks old. And what we found in the process, and I've served on boards of an adoption agency here in Detroit, but I really, until you get into the process, you don't understand in the system of private adoptions how cumbersome the process is and how very expensive it is. And when we adopted Jeremiah, we spent several thousand dollars. You can go on the internet and get a range, but most adoptions, private adoptions now are between $16,000 and $25,000, and that's for domestic adoption.
Pam, explain to me the difference between what a private adoption is. I don't know what that means.
Oh, okay, good. And I'm glad I'm having an opportunity to talk about this because it's a really important issue. So a private adoption is when a mother says, okay, I want to give up my child for adoption, and I want to place that child with a family. They can't just do that in most states. They can't just say, okay, I'm going to pick this couple and just, you know, let this couple have my child. In most cases, you have to go through an adoption agency. That's called a private placement adoption. Now, there are, you know, everyone hears about the adoptions from the public sphere, you know, the kids that are in foster care that need placement into a home. And the goal of foster care is, so you have someone who's struggling, a parent who's struggling either with an addiction or abuse or something that causes the state to come in and say, in most cases, for the state to come in and say, this child is no longer in a safe environment. So that child is temporarily, the goal is to temporarily place that child with a, quote, foster family until the parent can get themselves together, get either a treatment or counseling or something, but the goal is to reunite that child with his or her parent. What happens is if that family plan cannot take place, then those children go into what's called the foster care system. And you can adopt out of the foster care system, but typically when you adopt out of the foster care system, those children have come from homes where the parental rights have been terminated, okay? So when you do that, the state typically underwrites the full cost of those adoptions because those children now become wards of the state. And so the state, you know, looking for someone, and those kids are typically not infants. They're a little bit older, and they can, you know, stay in the system for, if they're not adopted, through adulthood. A private adoption typically takes place with an infant. You know, if you want an infant, and you can, there's certain things you can tell the agency that you desire. You know, an infant child, you can say, you know, any number of things. You could just say, look, I'm looking for an infant child or to adopt, and the agency matches you with a mother, and that's private, and you pay for that on your own. Have I explained that in a way that it makes sense?
Yes, you have, because I just needed to know, because, you know, we don't know. If you've never been a part of the process, you may or may not
know
the
journey.
Too.
That's true. And so what we did is we adopted Jeremiah through the private, through a private adoption with a match with the mom. And so that's very costly, and you say, well, why would you do that and not adopt out of foster care? Both my husband and I are attorneys, and we have a very, very busy lifestyle. And when it comes to adopting children from the foster care system, some of them do, first of all, they're a little bit older than what we were looking for. We were looking for an infant. And there are just not a lot of infants available in the system, the foster care system. And then sometimes those you need more time to work with the children because their rights have been terminated, and they sometimes come out of very difficult environments that, you know, would require a little bit more attention than, and I'm just speaking just from, not from experience, but just from what we understood. And so we just made the choice.
And that's true.
To go
because
private adoption.
The novelty wears off. The children, wards of the state usually just don't get dropped off. And from my understanding from our children's services, by the time you get through the process, that child has been in the system a couple years.
Yeah.
So the infancy of that child is just gone.
Yeah, it could be. And there's some wonderful, wonderful children that come out of the foster care system. You know, there's not in any way. It was just a choice that
What about international adoption, like going to Africa and getting kids? Do you know anything about that process?
I do. It's a similar process, except that it can be a bit more costly. There are different rules based on the jurisdiction in which the children are coming from. And, you know, sometimes when you adopt and do an international adoption, the children, they might be in orphanages. Many, many people do that. It's a costly, it is a costly proposition. And, you know, my feeling in informing Jeremiah's House was, look, something has to be done. There are many, many people who desire to have infant children who want to adopt from the private system and just cannot afford to do it. And that just shouldn't be the case. I mean,
it's an alternative to abortion.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, you have a mother who says, look, I've decided that I do not want to have an abortion, and I want to place my child in a home where I know that child is going to be loved and he's going to be safe. And, you know, so imagine yourself, you're a mom, and people always say, well, you know, you can place your child for adoption. Imagine your mom, and I agree. I mean, obviously we would not be in a position where we have Jeremiah had a mother not made that decision. But understand that it is a scary proposition. You are going to take a child that you have given birth to and give that child to a stranger. You're giving that child to a stranger, and basically, you know, many times all you have is something on paper that makes these people look like they're nice people. You know, that they're going to provide a loving home for your child. And so it's scary. It's scary for the mom. In many ways, it's scary for the parents that are adopting because, there's certain information you can get about the child in terms of the health of the mom, what she's willing to disclose in the background and exposure to drugs or not, or, you know, any number of things. And certainly the baby can be tested and things like that. But it's a scary proposition for all parties. And so to the extent that Jeremiah's House can provide funding for a couple that we've taken a look at and we've said, we believe this couple is going to provide a loving home, you know, where there be solid values for a child, then we fund that. And so, you know, part of the proceeds from My Name is Judah is going to go to fund Jeremiah's House. And we've had several fundraisers. We've given our first award, and the family was able to adopt twin girls. So it's just it's just been wonderful. It is a labor of love for me.
Now, can you, with Jeremiah's House, can you help with adoptions that are outside of the Michigan area?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
We didn't go through Michigan. And the wonderful thing about the internet now is it opens up a lot of, you know, opportunities for you to look outside of your own state. You know, my husband and I, we wanted a level of anonymity. Because of my husband's position, people know him. Detroit's a smaller community. We wanted a closed adoption, which said that once we, you know, accepted Jeremiah, we did not want, you know, we didn't want a lot of communication. And so going to another state allowed us to do that.
Now, do you have a website for Jeremiah's House?
We're building as we're flying. Honestly, Tracy, we're building as we're flying.
I do understand.
But if anyone is interested, they can certainly contact me directly. I have a Facebook page through My Name is Judah, and we'll be up and running. We're having a major fundraiser this year, which will enable us to do some things like get our, you know, website going. But certainly if anyone's interested, they can call me directly at 313-821-0155. And my name is Judah, has its own Facebook page, and certainly you can reach out to me there.
Can I ask a question, another question?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Like when you adopt a child, do they show you like, okay, this is the parent, this is their 5'4", you know, the father's 6'1", 210. I mean, do you get to choose all that, or is it just, hey, here's a baby, take him? Or is it just, do you really get to look at the genetics? I know that sounds bad, but I mean, you know, sometimes you may want to know, okay, is this child going to be prone to obesity? Is this child going to be prone to, you know, I don't really care more so about criminal, because I think a lot of that has to do with upbringing. But as far as genetics, how's that work?
So to my knowledge, and I'm certainly no real expert in this area, to my knowledge, you don't get a genetic report. When we worked with the agency, they simply said, what is it, you know, what's your desire? And we said, you know, we'd like an African-American boy. And there's a bit of a history behind what we said. My husband and I are African-American. We said we wanted an African-American boy because we're African-Americans, and we felt, okay, he would blend into our family. But also, when you took the desirability, African-American boys on the scale were in studies coming up to be the least desired. So if a parent came in, they said, you know, a couple wanted to adopt, and they said, well, we want, you know, whatever. African-American boys were lower on the list, and we thought, that's kind of crazy. And so that was our desire. So you can ask for, you know, they'll ask you, are you open to whatever, or, you know, boy, girl, ethnicity, they'll ask you things like that. They'll ask you what your tolerance is in terms of whether or not, you know, there's drug exposure or not drug exposure, or the family has a history of, you know, that the child may have some learning disabilities. But I don't believe it gets much deeper than that. But certainly you can state what your preference would be. But nothing, I don't think, in terms of genetics. Certainly you are able, if the mother is willing to disclose the medical history. How often has she gone to the doctor?
I was really asking, like, about height and weight. That's all I would really want to know. I mean, as far as, you know, medical stuff, I mean, that's on them personal. But I was just thinking the basic stats, you know, height and weight.
This ain't DNA Finder.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, you can learn certain things about the mother's interest, but no. I mean, basically, at the end of the day.
So it's not like sperm donor?
No.
Because, I mean, that's where they get into it. I'm just saying, the DNA and breaking out, you know, with their IQ. You can't find that out, Alabama.
So
it's a baby.
Excuse me. I was just trying to find out what's possible. That's all. I'm going to tell y'all my little vision. This is going to tell y'all what I'm going to do. You know, I'm going to go over to Sudan. I'm going to go to the tall tribe over there. I'm going to go get me 2 7-footers. I'm going to bring them back. Get them as infants. I'm going to bring them back. 2 twin brothers.
Oh, dear God.
I'm going to bring them back. When I get finished, they're going to be ready for LeBron when I get through.
Listen, you need to teach him how to drive in the snow, so you'll slide all over Alabama and Atlanta.
I ain't have no accidents in the snow. Why are you talking? All these cars on the side, but I made it victorious. Thank God.
Pam, we want to thank you for coming on with us today. It is a pleasure. You're always welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I have certainly enjoyed this, and I hope your audience has gotten some good information. Again, I'm reachable on Facebook at my name is Judah, and by telephone at 313-821-0155. I so appreciate you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it is a blessing. I love you. And I want to know why my book is not signed.
See me in church, I will sign it. People,
I got to carry the book around.
And they got to go to
church.
And I got to go to church.
In Detroit.
That's in Detroit from Ohio. That's right. Right. You need to carry it around. And if you like it, go on Amazon.com and give it a nice review. I had a wonderful review from a blogger. She had some very nice things to say about it. And if you agree, please, I invite you and your co-host to go online and give it a nice review.
You know what? I certainly will. I will do that. I
Me
love you.
Me too. That's wonderful.
I love you
Thank
so much.
Thank you so much.
And I'm
I've
so proud of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You guys, you have a good day. Listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Introducing the newest battery in the Interstate lineup, the AGM, built in such a way that it has three times the lifespan of conventional batteries. Simply put, no battery lasts longer. Interstate batteries, outrageously dependable.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mart Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mart Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And sitting with me is Mark Manji.
Hey, Tracy.
I really enjoy talking to your friend Pam. That
she's a sweetie.
What a sweet lady.
Yeah, she is. She really, really is.
And plug the book one more time. That's just...
My Name is Judah by Pamela Denise Mack, and it's illustrated by Delina. Ooh, Jessica Movie.
It really shows what parents need to do. The kind of thing over here to get parents to guide their kids through this very interesting world that we live in today, and it's a challenge. I think parenting skills have got to be brought up and made more central focused to folks who have kids, because, you know, I know what we had to do with ours, but we went to church with them on Sunday. We made sure we got Sunday school, good Christian education. And we would talk with him about the events that he's seeing on TV on a regular basis. Because if you don't, these people grow up thinking what they see on TV is the way it is. It's very disturbing.
That I think that is more of the problem, and I believe that the television generation is more of the problem, because the parents believe what they see on TV.
Yes, absolutely.
I was watching television this morning, and I was watching MSNBC, CNBC, and NBC.
Okay.
So of all the news stations that are out,
the NBC stations,
I was like, and then I had Fox.
Yes.
And then there's CNN, but I'm looking at there were three channels, and I really didn't pay attention to CNBC, MSNBC, and NBC, mm-hmm. and all of them are in the same news cycle.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And then you have they're teaching all the same things. If you say anything in opposition to what they say, you are demonized.
Yes.
And people believe that what they see is really real.
Yeah. And you know, it's you need to stand up for what you believe in. You need to be able to take the rocks being thrown at you, because they're going to call you names if you don't believe the way that they believe. And you need to be able to guide your children through this horrible, horrible, horrible environment where there's, I mean, the violence and the video games and the stuff that's shown on TV. And I'm glad you brought up the Grammy Awards. Because that was just, you know, enough. How much do we have to take? I was talking with my wife this morning. You know, we have 335 million people in this country. And the country seems to be pretty much split down the center. So you see a show like the Grammys, and these are big money people. These are big money networks that are showing this stuff. Why would they want to alienate half of the country? Because it was beyond the pale. You had posted something on your Facebook page, and I agreed 100% about the gospel singer that walked out.
Yes, she walked out.
And Ginger, and it's funny you should say that, because Ginger, we watched a little bit of it, and Ginger said, this is too dark. My wife said, it's too dark. What do you do with that? I don't even know where to go with that. Why is it that way?
I didn't watch it at all. I've been to the Grammys.
Yeah.
I've had the opportunity to be in attendance and to be backstage and to go through all, and I've done it all, and so I'm really not interested in it. But I was probably playing Bubbles on Facebook and watching the postings.
Yeah.
And you could see the postings of people talking about what was going on, and so I didn't see the whole thing. But when I went back to watch the reviews of the whole thing and saw, I'm not surprised by Beyonce doing what she did, because she did the same thing at the Super Bowl last year.
Sure.
She was gyrating all over the floor, you know, and what?
Put some clothes on, honey. You're not that good looking. I mean, I just...
But you got to see what she wore to the White House the week before for Michelle Obama's birthday party.
Yeah.
It wasn't much. It wasn't... only different is it was a different color.
Well, this is deemed as acceptable behavior, and I hate to sound like an old fuddy-duddy, maybe because I am an old fuddy-duddy, but enough.
There is no enough.
Put some clothes on. Have some respect for yourself, and have some respect for the people that are watching your brand of entertainment. And I feel like my grandmother talking about Elvis Presley back in the 1950s.
Yeah.
But you know what, Tracy? Maybe my grandmother was right.
She was right.
Look what's happened.
We just didn't see what she saw.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. The number is 347-945-5229. I want to hear from you today. You look back then, and you look at what we have today. Do you realize, have you been to a basketball game, a high school basketball game?
I haven't been to a high school basketball team in a basketball game in a while. I went to some pro games, but not a high school
game. If you really want to see what we're doing, you need to go to a high school basketball game.
Okay.
And look how the young ladies dress.
Oh.
And you need to go and see what we're really promoting here.
Yeah.
And somebody bought those clothes. So if you think that busting a sag is a bad thing.
Yeah.
And we allowed it.
It goes to where the parents are, and it's one of two things. Either the parents don't care or the parents agree with what's going on. I don't know which is worse.
I don't think parents know any different because we have allowed, we've dismissed generations. I mean, I said this yesterday on the air, and I'll continue to say it. Those people who are the hippies, the love children, those are our leaders today.
That's a scary thought.
The feminist movement?
Yes.
Those are our leaders today.
Absolutely. I watched a show on a History Channel about the on this past Sunday about the history of the hippie movement in San Francisco. Really? I mean, I looked at that because I'm of that generation. I mean, I'm that's the age. I was in college when all this stuff was going on. A senior in high school, I was through 67 through 72 when the stuff was in its zenith. How can such good intentions be perverted?
What good intentions?
Well, you know, these. If I brought you in, there's a CD over there. Actually, I brought it in for Jeff, but it's about 23, 24 Mitchell Trio cuts on it.
Okay.
And some of the, you know, there's standard folk music, but there's other stuff talking about, you know, people getting along and looking for peace and love, which in and of themselves, it's the trouble is those concepts of peace and love have been perverted by these people.
They weren't perverted. It's what their peace and love was. It was a freedom. It was a free movement.
It was a different. There's
what was
a difference between peace and love love, sex, and rock and roll. I mean, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's what these people live for. That's what it morphed into.
Let me say it this way, because I'm on the cusp of the baby boomers.
Yeah.
So I was born in 64.
All right.
So by the time
I'm the real thing.
See, you're right. You were
I was born in 1950.
You and Jeff are right in the middle of this thing.
Right.
You guys were in the heartbeat of it.
That's right.
Look at what. You had women burning bras. They wanted to be free. Billie Jean King was an icon.
Yes.
Now she's going to go and she's going to represent homosexuality in a country that doesn't want it there.
Sure.
I mean, I just want us to really understand. You got John Kerry, who is the Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one that was anti-war movement.
Yes.
And he's going to try to seek peace in a place that doesn't want peace or him.
Yes.
Look at the flower children.
Yes.
Look at Hillary Clinton.
Kumbaya.
See, there is no such thing. And remember, they had the free love. They have a Studio 54.
Yes.
Look at the drugs. So now we're gonna legalize marijuana.
Well, listen, what they did was they took what was basically a good idea and turned it into a license to do anything that you wanted to do. It was anarchy. It was communalism as opposed to communism, but it's basically the same thing. You can't – when we sat and we talked for an hour about this wonderful book, and it showed people of different – backgrounds, different races playing together, that's a good thing. And learning to live with one another, that's a good thing. But you can't swing from one extreme to another and expect some horrible stuff's not going to happen. I grew up in the 1950s, and I'll tell you what, it was rigid.
Yeah.
And it was not right, and if we went to go see a movie called Philomena at the movies, and it was up for an Oscar this year, and you look at that storyline, And you don't want that either.
That's correct. And don't get me wrong. There were a lot of things that were wrong then. But I'm looking at, if you look at the mindset of those people, of the hair movement.
Yeah.
The Jesus Christ Superstar movement.
Yes.
If you look at all those things, you see it manifesting in 2014.
Sure.
And they're coming to fruition. And we're wondering why. Because we've left everything in the 50s and 60s was not bad.
No, it wasn't. Not everything was bad.
And our parents were misguided, and our parents were hurt, and our parents, I mean, if you look at how men treated women and they treated their wives, if you looked at race relations then, if you look at all that stuff that was going on then, we could have done better.
Yes, we could have.
But we've gone, can you say gone too far?
Of course we've gone too far. And that's the point I'm trying to make. You could take a basically good idea and morph it into what we've got, which has nothing to do with the good idea. If you look at the heart and soul of that movement, it had to do with the individual. It had to do with respect for each other. It had to do with respect for the person, respect for the individual. We're all created equal. That was the heart. Those are core American values, and it was the heart of the movement, but it morphed into it takes a village, and anybody can do what they want. And it doesn't work that way. The individual is lost again.
You have a village president. Why are you playing?
Oh, please.
Hey, local call, your mic is on.
Yeah, this is Steve.
Yes, Steve.
Ms. Tracy, I wanted to talk to your guest about adoption, and I wanted to ask her about what was her view on, Caucasian parents adopting black children, because I know that I guess the reason why I bring this up for is because there are children that are black, and I guess some white parents, they can offer them a good home and see to it they get a good education, but then still they're away from, around their own culture, and, they're away from their own culture and, their own environment, so to speak. So I have some issues with sometimes that type of adoption.
Steve, I'm going to be honest with you. Pam's already gone, but let me say this. I had an issue with, at one time, I had issue with interracial adoption because I felt the same way that you did. And I have now changed my mind on interracial adoption. If a family wants to give a child a home and can give them a loving environment, we can deal with them learning about their ancestry another day. But what it will not do them any good to be raised in foster care, waiting for somebody to come by and pick them up and take them home, and then them still not knowing their origin. Mm-hmm. You understand that, right?
Yes, yeah, I do.
And so what good is it for me to leave that child? Because if you look at the children, and I believe there's going to be either a documentary or a movie that's coming out about foster care. And it's going to, I believe it's coming out in the next week or so. I don't think we really understand the impact that foster care has on our culture and on America. There are some good foster care homes out there. But children who are raised in foster care are so very, very disconnected from life. I mean, you got to understand, foster care, it's very difficult to attach yourself to someone who you know that they can take away from you tomorrow. I mean, I don't think you got to understand, I know a family where they've been raising a child for something like 13 years. And all of a sudden, they're now trying. Their mother wants to have them come back home. How do you have a child in your home for that long that you've been fostering, raising, and all of a sudden, it's time for you to go back to your mom? That your mom really doesn't want you.
Nope.
But
I gotta go, man.
Your mom wants the benefits that you offer. Isn't that something? And I've seen young ladies and young men in foster care, and when Pam said that the most undesirable out there is the black male, she's right. They are not asked for. And that comes from our liberal media. Gotta love that liberal media, don't you, Mark? You know, the one that loves us? Our liberal media is the ones who make the suggestions that you never want to have a black man in your house, not even as a repairman. not even advertising. I'll be right back.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. The cold spell has taken a toll on everyone, but a Youngstown family suffered severe injuries from the deep freeze. Police say a 51-year-old Youngstown man had frostbite so bad his clothing and boots were frozen to his skin. Police say he was never exposed to elements outside. Instead, he was inside of his home, but he had no electricity, no running water, and no gas. Officials say his wife and daughter are believed to have hypothermia. The home on North Hazelwood has been deemed uninhabitable by the city of Youngstown. A success for Youngstown municipal judges after more than 17 years of trying to convince city council to upgrade their courtroom facilities. They'll now have a day in court to voice complaints to the state Supreme Court. A hearing date is set for March 17th. And after a year and a half without a contract, nurses at Northside Hospital finally vote on a tentative agreement with Valley Care Hospital Systems. The union was able to negotiate an increase in wages with the hospital. However, the deal is only a one-year agreement. For WSON News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Attention all healthcare professionals. Is your practice accepting new patients? Are you looking to grow your business? If so, listen to this opportunity. Our radio station, which is part of Cumulus Media, is publishing and distributing 20,000 free local medical guides this spring. It includes a physician's listing, as well as marketing opportunities for your practice. This is a great opportunity for you to attract new patients. Make sure your practice is included in the medical guide. For all the details, call me, Brad Marshall, at 330-779-8127.
This is an important announcement for anyone with a student loan who is having trouble making their monthly payments. Pay attention. There is a special toll-free hotline that has been set up especially for you. Grab a pen and take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 1-800-426-0551. That's 1-800-426-0551. When you call the Federal Student Loan Relief Hotline, you will get free information. Free information to help you relieve the overwhelming financial burden of an ongoing, endless student loan. If you're behind, late on payments, or even in default on your student loan, the Federal Student Loan Relief Hotline can help you. You may also be able to cut your payments in half right away. The Federal Student Loan Relief Hotline can also stop the harassing phone calls, wage garnishments, and even remove tax liens. But you have to call 1-800-426-0551. The Federal Student Loan Relief Partner Companies has helped thousands of people just like you fix their student loan problem. Call 1-800-426-0551 for free information today. That's 1-800-426-0551.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor, Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
Is your credit card debt out of control? Are you in over your head dealing with monthly payments? There's a powerful secret the credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have credit card debt, you have the power to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe, cutting your payments by up to half or more. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. And we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt and lower your payments by up to half or more. It's yours free when you call today. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and we could save you thousands. Live better, debt free. Find out how easy it is by calling for this valuable free information.
For the secret the credit card companies don't want you to know, call National Debt Relief today at 1-800-426-7119. That's 800-426-7119. This free information is available only for a limited time. Change your life. Call 1-800-426-7119 today.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
You've been taught to hate and fear. You've got to be taught from year to year. It's got to be drummed in your dear little ear. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And I'm sitting here with Mark Mangi, and he's my Mark Knows It All, Tracy's Favorite Things Day. And I am playing a song from the South Pacific that I never knew was in there.
You know, South Pacific was basically a very controversial play when it was produced in the late 1940s.
Why?
Because it dealt with interracial relationships. It was about a white lieutenant who fell in love with a Polynesian lady. And so, you know, it was at the forefront of at least the public, the entertainment industry coming out with race relations, and it almost didn't get produced because of its topic.
Really.
Lieutenant Cable is shipped to the South Pacific, and he falls in love with a beautiful Polynesian girl who's the daughter of, what's the name of the character? Rose something or other. She's a Polynesian mama, so to speak, and they take her Lieutenant Cable, the mother takes them to spend an enchanted weekend on Valley High, and they fall in love, and then the lieutenant gets out and he's killed.
You know, I have enjoyed this movie for a very, very long time.
Yes,
I've never heard that song.
Yeah, it was in the movie.
There are a couple songs that I just adore.
Yeah,
because I mean, it was a high school play for years.
Sure. But the racial aspect of it is rarely talked, but when it came out, it almost didn't get produced. You had the two love stories going on between her and the French guy, and then the lieutenant and the Polynesian girl.
I'm going to wave that man right out of my arm and send him on his way. I have no idea.
Don't try to patch it up.
Sexy
man.
Thanks.
That's amazing. I never knew that. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I goofed up today, so you guys have to just deal with me and Mark, because I don't think that the broadcast is going out completely on Blog Talk like it should.
Why? It must be cold. It must be that ice and snow in Alabama.
No, it's actually
or
me.
Or Georgia.
It was Georgia, Alabama. It's all down there.
Did you see who they blamed?
Yeah, they blamed the mayor.
They blamed the weatherman. The mayor or the governor of Georgia blamed the weatherman.
They didn't blame the weatherman.
Yeah, they did.
They said they
weren't warned. No, they didn't give them warning. Listen, I watched the news. They were saying on the news for a week before this is what was going to happen
down
there.
But how could they prepare?
You know what? You have limited resources, so you get them ready to go. So they went and pre-treated the roads, then they sat and did nothing.
But the question is, how do you prepare for that in the South when you don't have?
You tell the kids to stay home from school. You shut down the federal offices. This was no surprise. I mean, would you see, and the thing of it was is that the temperature that was down there,
yeah.
It wasn't the below zero stuff. General salt on the road would have taken care
but
of that
problem.
They
wouldn't have had that kind of salt. They wouldn't have had that kind of mechanism. They
no, they have it. They have it down there. They don't have the trucks that we have, but they're prepared for it. They just didn't want to do anything with it. You know, up here when we got a storm coming, they put the salt trucks out on the road and ready to go.
But they don't know what to do. I mean, you didn't listen to the show the other day. Alabama put hot water on the windshield.
Oh, no.
You got to understand,
no.
They don't have a clue. You don't even know how to drive in it. I mean, seriously.
Just the pictures of those freeways? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was bad.
Those kids are stuck on the bus?
Kids, I mean, the woman had a baby?
Yeah.
And they brought the National Guard out? Let's bring them lunch. You know, that's pretty good. Hey, I'm glad it's down there, not up here. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. If you want to call locally, you can. The number is 330-781-9600. Did you read Drudge this morning?
Did I?
Read Drudge.
I had it up on my screen, yeah.
Tell me, why is it that Republicans, because I'm going to pick on you guys today. You know, I'm looking at Ann Coulter's comments.
Yeah.
And, you know, we groan and moan about policies when someone else gets in power. And they do it because we didn't do it.
Yes.
But we scream when we try to do it.
Yes.
Can you explain?
Don't know.
I mean, I'm serious. Don't we think that we ought to, okay, instead of allowing the Democrats and the liberals, who we're going to absolutely, unequivocally disagree with no matter what. We know that.
Yes.
Because it's politics.
Yes.
Instead of giving them the opportunity to come up with something that's going to be crazy.
Yes.
And they are.
Yes.
What's wrong with us trying to come up with our own immigration reform bill?
They should, and we haven't.
And so when he says, okay, we're going to try to come up with our own, why do we beat people up?
Well, we Republicans have a way of beating each other up. I've got an issue with that. We've got to stop that garbage. But the lesson is well learned. You cannot sit back and do nothing.
Like health care.
Very good. I was just going there. You can't do it like health care. You can't do it with immigration reform. You know, whether you can put your head in the sand and pretend the problem isn't there, but it's there.
It's there.
So what do we do about it? So we put our head in the sand with health care and look what we got. We put our head in the sand with immigration, and, you know, now we have to deal with it. You know, whether we like it or not, you wonder, I don't know why. When I watch the insurance companies on the health care jump into bed with the president on what was going on, because had they not done that, we wouldn't have had this mess. Why weren't the Republicans working with those big, bad insurance companies when Bush was in office?
Because we don't deal with people issues. We deal with tax issues. We don't deal with that, Mark.
But we have to deal with people issues.
But we
don't. There's 335 million of us.
The only thing, if you listen, and this was my complaint during the Bush administration, we always talk about tax reform, tax cuts, and tax credits. Well, if I am always getting all my money back, what makes you think I'm really going to be concerned about? I don't even understand what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so we've become the business of, or the party of big business, because big businesses, we understand that tax cuts, tax breaks, it drives the economy. Less regulation drives the economy. It creates jobs. That's what we say.
But we're not. You know who's behind the immigration thing? It's big business. They're looking for cheap labor.
Absolutely.
And the insurance companies on health care were looking to become a utility, easy money. All they had to do was process forms. That's going to bite them in the rear end. You know, I don't understand what they're thinking. These are supposed to be smart people.
So tell me, why is it that we're not dealing with people issues? Except for, oh, your mic is on. How you doing today?
I'm doing fine. I have a couple of comments to make on this. I mean, as far as health care, as far as immigration, you know, we got to get out of the idea that we can save everybody. That's ridiculous. There's always going to be winners and losers. As far as the government is just wanting votes. That's all it is. As far as big business, cheaper labor. And if they let in as many as illegals as I think they're going to, black society is going to be deemed irrelevant completely.
Oh, you heard me say that yesterday, didn't you? I meant that yesterday.
No,
they're going to throw me off.
I haven't heard you for about a week. I've been busy.
Oh, whoa, wait a minute. Hey, what has been more important than listening to me in the morning?
Food. Making
food.
Money.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're one of those productive people, huh?
You know, you got to make money to eat. Well, you got to be. That's what I'm saying.
No, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. No, listen, you can stay home watch me. You can stay home and listen to me all day long and get a check.
I can when I need to, but, I mean.
No.
Well,
there's a way.
That's the way.
Call up the president. He'll tell you.
Don't go there. Don't get me wound
okay,
up
I won't
today.
Go there. Okay.
Yeah, how can that guy stand on TV and lie? He lies every time at the state at that State of the Union address.
What do you lie about
now? He's a liar. Oh my! Everything he says is a lie. I had to turn it off. I couldn't stand it.
What did he lie about?
I mean, just everything. Just everything about jobs and everything else. Everybody knows that we have job problems in this country, and he's trying to put a positive spin on it. It's like, give me a break. You know,
we have the lowest unemployment rate. Didn't he say that?
Because the only thing that has changed is that everybody's run out of unemployment, so they don't count anymore. That's why the numbers have gone down.
You got 99
weeks.
There's
people that have just quit plain looking, that have run out of that benefit or handout or whatever you want to call
it. Actually, they haven't quit looking. They just don't get a check anymore.
Yeah, exactly. But there's some that have quit looking. They're so discouraged. I know people like that.
What are they doing?
One demographic.
No, it's not. What are they doing?
They're in trouble.
I mean, because when you quit looking, if you're not working, what are they doing?
It's under the table stuff. There's
okay.
A lot of it. Yeah, they're doing a lot under. You know.
Okay. They're
I'm not
going to
get specific, but yeah, but they're.
You don't have to. But because my question is, you know, what do you do when you no longer can find if you can't find a job? You still got to eat.
It's just like Jeff. Jeff is like me, in this respect. He'll do whatever he's got to do to make money. He's had all kinds of jobs. I've had all kinds of jobs.
Me too.
I've
you got to
sure
eat.
That he's pretty sure. I'm pretty sure he's pretty well educated. So am I. But there's times where I had to do other things that I didn't like to do.
But you got to eat.
That's
you
right.
You got to feed your family. You got to pay bills.
That's right. That's the way it is. But, we can't save everybody. It'd be nice if we could. But sometimes, you know, Darwinism rears its ugly head, so.
But when you say you can't save everybody, what do you mean by that?
We get the impression that we have to save everybody. And I mean, you can't do it. You just can't do it. It's not reasonable. You can save most of the people. I'm talking about all the benefits and programs and this and that. I mean, you know, he mentioned about growing a bigger government. That's all he thinks about is growing bigger government. He wants this as a purely social.
And that explains
society.
your original comment. When you said, how can he get on there and lie? Because he believes in big government, and he's he'll do whatever he can to get it, including lie.
He said they beat me up on it, and he laughed about it like it was a lie. And he's the one that lies. I mean, and I'll be honest, it has not, in the comments he makes, well, it's because of my color. It has nothing to do about your color. Not anything. And everybody nothing. That I've talked to, it has nothing to do with it. It has to do with he just wants to grow this government. He's done nothing. He's not moral. I don't think he's a moral man at all. And I don't think Hillary Clinton is either. They're the same person. You know that.
Yeah, but Hillary's distancing herself. I don't know if you've been watching the comments.
She's been backing up.
Well, Robert Gibbs has been on television making some very interesting
comments.
Did
you follow those?
Yeah, and my wife said to me, she said, what's he doing? I said, he's laying the groundwork for Hillary. He is distancing for the president. He's criticizing the president. And this is what you're going to hear from Hillary Clinton. And, the time is the great that makes people forget. If you were to ask when she's running for office in 2 years, ask her, where did she work before? Nobody's going to be able to tell you she was Secretary of State of the United States for 4 years.
No, they don't know.
They don't know. What they're going to know is the criticism of the way things are. So she's going to piss off the left, and it's going to be interesting in the Democratic primary. I think she's going to have a challenger, and I think it's not going to be as a shoo-in as people want to think it is, or they're trying to make it.
Even if I liked her policies, the thing about Benghazi is that she knew this guy, and she still let him die. What do you think she thinks about us? We're meat.
Have you seen the paper trail? Have you seen the body trail of the Clintons?
People die around them.
The body trail of the Clintons, look at Ron Brown. He went down in a plane crash with a bullet in the back of his head.
Do you remember who was out on the mall? Her boyfriend was out on the mall. He died mysteriously. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, the guy who fought on the mall that committed suicide. Yeah.
During Watergate.
Not Watergate. Yeah.
Why my name? The guy, he shot himself on the mall while Clinton was president. He was her right-hand man back of the law firm.
They were boyfriend and girlfriend back there.
Yeah,
he was due to testify in front of the Senate. And all of a sudden, this guy's dead. He's dead. And, you people are not doing anything about this? I was amazed. I mean, but everybody, like you said, everybody's dying around her. It's like wherever she goes, wherever they go, it's not good.
Okay.
That's it.
Foster.
Thank you. I had a senior moment there. I forgot.
Me too. The brain, it takes a little while for the hard drive to catch up there. It's not the little things twirling on my screen.
So
that is amazing, ain't it?
You know what? I mean, but as far as her policies and that, she's not any better than him. I mean, it's all the same. We're going to get a dose of the same. I'll cry if that happens. It has nothing to do with color. It has nothing to do with gender. They just have the same policies. I mean, it's crazy. I don't believe in either one of them morally. They are morally depraved in a certain sense, and I can't stand it.
What do you think about Chris Christie?
He's a rhino. He's almost a Democrat. I got a kick out of how the left wing media jumped all over him, and that's what he gets for holding hands on the beach with Obama during all that crisis. I got such a kick out of that. I always see that clip with him and Obama walking on the beach, wondering what they're going to do with New Jersey. I'm like, you know, they look like lovers holding hands on that beach. He got what he deserved. I hope he never makes it. He'll be just as bad too.
He's going to come out of this. I mean, if you see them backpedaling out of this.
I hope you're wrong. I don't like him.
I hope I'm wrong, but I'm just saying. But, so tell me, who do you think is going to run?
I want to read some of that.
You got it. Who's going to run? Who's going to run for president on the Republican side, and who's going to make a difference? Are you going to get another Mitt Romney and John McCain?
I don't think that's going to happen. I think somebody's going to come out of woodwork, though. I think it's going to be a surprise. I think it's going to be a surprise. I don't know. You're asking me. I'm of limited intelligence and no. So
no, you're not.
I'm not. I can't predict something like that. I don't know. I mean,
watch Ted
a lot
Cruz.
Can change in 3 years. A lot can change in 3 years. I mean, it's frightening. I mean, really. I mean, Hillary could die of natural causes. Who knows what the heck's going to happen? Really? I mean,
have
I
you,
don't.
No, Hillary's not going to die.
You don't know that. You don't know. I mean, hey, sometimes God can fix it. You know, I'm not.
God can always fix it.
Heard.
The question is, will he? Because I think America. I mean. Mark wants to read some.
Okay.
This is
something I came across online and on a website called Greater Things, and it's entitled, How Would You Like to Be Bill Clinton's Friend? So let's kind of go through this. James McDougal, Clinton convicted Whitewater partner, died of an apparent heart attack while in solitary confinement. He was a key witness in Ken Starr's investigation. Mark Mahoney, a former White House intern, was murdered July 1997 at a Starbucks in Georgetown. The murder happened just as she was to go public with her story of sexual harassment in the White House. Vince Foster, former White House counselor and colleague of Hillary Clinton, died of a gunshot wound to the head, ruled suicide. He also had another 22 gunshot wound in the neck. The gunshot wound in the head was a larger caliber than the one that was in his hand. Ron Brown, Secretary of Commerce, reported to have died by impact in a plane crash. A pathologist close to the investigation reported that there was a hole in the top of Brown's skull resembling a gunshot wound. This goes on and on. There's about 20 to 25 of these people. I have never in my life seen anything like it, and the press just kind of ignores it.
What do you mean ignores it? I told you she saw bullets. Remember, she saw bullets flying over her head in Bosnia, and it was flowers.
Oh, what a liar. That's what I mean.
And wait a minute.
That's exactly
No one calls her on it years later, and she's the forerunner. She tells us that she knows nothing about Benghazi, but yet we find out that they knew everything about Benghazi, and they knew it had nothing to do with the video.
Here's another one over here. C. Victor Razor, a major players in the Clinton fundraising organization, died in a private plane crash. Paul Tully, DNC political director, found dead in a hotel room.
Hey, don't forget John Kennedy.
Yeah,
don't forget John. John John was getting ready to step his finger into the political scheme, and they took him out quick with a plane that went down.
Yep.
Thanks, Bill.
The Benghazi thing is they were all killed. They had high powered weapons. They had explosives, all U.S. made. They're running
it was a terrorist
guns.
Attack.
We gave them weapons. They're running weapons through Libya. This is what this is all about. This is what nobody wants us to know. This is why they're not coming forward. They don't want this to be talked about. We're running weapons through Libya. Period. How about that?
So is that why they let those guys die?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Did you know they were hostile because he had sidestepped Hillary and Obama and went to Congress because he couldn't get any action from them as far as protection. they were red hot about that. And then when they they just strung it right out. And he's dead. That guy died bad. He died bad.
That was a hard death. You know, give me a bullet, but don't torture me like that. That's tough.
Oh, he was tortured, sodomized repeatedly. They drug him through the streets, then they killed him.
So can we ask you
that's
this?
Let me ask this because this
is the problem that I have. I believe war is war.
Yep.
So there's no friends in love or war. So when I come out after you, why is it that I have to be humane in how I treat you, but you can don't have to be humane in how you treat me?
Well, this is the thing, and Tracy, she knows, they both know who the people were that killed them, and we haven't gone after them. They know specifically who killed them. How about that?
So they know that. So what are we on vacation?
Well, they're not going to do anything about it. The issue starts to come is what did they know and when did they know it? You know,
they knew it a long time ago.
The same way that they knew that there was going to be a terrorist attack on American soil when Bill Clinton left office and forgot to transfer that information over to George W. Bush that we don't want to talk about out loud.
You know what? And it's just the same thing is that they sent all those weapons down into Mexico. They know all this. This wasn't no surprise. They knew this months before Ambassador Stevens was ever killed. They knew, we're running guns through there. We're supplying everybody.
Why are we doing that again? I mean, didn't we learn from Ollie North and the Iran-Contra thing? Didn't we learn anything from that? What are we doing?
You know who scares me more than anybody? Is Holder. Holder scares me.
Thank you. I agree 100%.
See, now, there you guys go. You don't like him because he's black.
No, he scares me to death. That guy, like I said, I don't care. I group these people the same, and it has nothing to do with color. Bill and Hillary, Obama, Holder's all of them. And Obama's spokesman, who's that howdy doody dude that's up there on TV all the time?
Jay Carney.
Jay Carney. Hey, listen, he's a smart man. He's fluent in Russian. He was Russian correspondent for Time Magazine. I'm floored that he prostituted himself like that.
That's a good job.
I can't stand that guy. I just want to punch that howdy doody sucker right in the.
Hey! Why do you want to do that?
And you know what? And he's trying to grow a beard to hide it. It's like
he called him Howdy Doody.
See, I thought he was growing the beard to hide himself. They hide behind hats, they hide behind glasses, they hide behind beards.
Listen to this one. I got to play this really quick. It's going to take about 47 seconds.
More, but you're obviously
Thank
very,
God.
Very, very close.
Thank God.
There's a moment of honesty. But you're obviously, you know the president very well. We know what this poll says about how the country's feeling about him. How's he feeling about the country right now? I mean, this is a guy who came in 5 years ago saying change comes from outside Washington. We're going to break the fever. We're going to change the way Washington does business. We're going to get things done. And he's learned some pretty hard lessons in how Washington actually works or doesn't work.
Well, I think, the ability to change Washington, I think, is something that long ago the White House sort of stopped trying to do. And whether or not that's a good thing, we'll look back on history. I do think...
What do you think?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. I miss most of the guys. If you don't hear from me, I'm in a bad area. I don't have a cell phone. So.
Robert Gibbs said that, he was glad he was no longer in the White House.
Yes.
And then he said, the president has stopped trying to change Washington. He campaigned on hope and change.
Yes.
And that he abandoned change a long time ago.
Yes.
And you were talking about Robert Gibbs.
I think he's got it right.
And you were talking about the President of the United States. You were talking about Hillary Clinton and this separating himself from Hillary
Clinton. He's separating himself. He's also giving her the platform. I went with Barack Obama because he said he was for hope and change, and I stuck by him because he needed my help and the country needed me. But going into the second term, you know what? He abandoned his principles. I'm ready to pick him up and move forward with them. I mean, I can hear her speech right now. I could write it for her.
Do you really think she's going to say that out loud?
Yes, I do.
And she's going to throw Barack Obama under the bus?
I don't think he's going to make it through the year as president. I keep saying that, but nobody, you know, believes me.
I think Obama's in serious trouble. Now, this is where I'm going to say caller's going to have something to do with that. That's not going to happen. If that was somebody else,
he'd be gone.
And I don't mean that in a racist or prejudiced towards.
But it's the truth.
But it's I'm speaking the truth.
They will not let the first black president be impeached.
No, they won't. They won't. He'll go out with his head down, but he's not going to go out like that. I promise you that. If that was a white guy, not even a white woman. It'd be a white guy. A white guy would be going down. He'd be in big trouble by now. But if it was Hillary, he'll be getting away with the same thing.
The best thing that Barack Obama has going for him right now is Joe Biden.
What? His insurance policy?
He's Obama's insurance policy because nobody wants Joe Biden as president. That's pitiful. Did you see him at the State of the Union? We were watching the video of Biden behind Obama last night on television, and that is the most I have laughed in a year. I actually had a belly laugh. I think I laughed for 5 minutes. I haven't had a belly laugh in a long time. When he was pointing at the audience while Obama's talking, smiling, and making nice,
let me ask you this: why did they actually put Biden down? Why did they put him actually? Let me take a break real quick. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, now is a great time to make the switch to a new Ford. Experience the sleek, fuel-efficient Fusion. See your Ford dealer today for a test drive and get your own for only $199 a month. Visit drive1ohio.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and art.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
If the man don't understand you, if you fly on separate beams, waste no time, make a change, ride that man right off your range. rub him out of the roll call and rum him out of your dreams. Oh ho! If you laugh at different comics, if you root for different teams, wait no time, weep no more. Show him what the door's for. Rub him out of the roll call and drum him out of your dreams.
Back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Mark has me listening to South Pacific this morning. Haven't listened to that in a very, very long time, Mark.
That's a great, great show, and I love the music from it. And that comes to the conclusion, everything old is new again. They ought to bring that thing back and revive it and get it on the circuit. That's something I can do downtown. Let's do a version of South Pacific.
Do I get to play in it?
Huh?
Do I get to play in it, and do I get to sing?
You can sing the Bally High song.
Okay, then we can do it.
Yeah.
As long as I get to, I'm like everybody else.
Sing Bally High. Bally High will find you.
I never knew that had words.
Oh, yeah. Play it. You should have it on your thing over there.
I'm going to find it.
No, I love Bally High. It's one of my favorite songs. And what she's doing is she's seducing the lieutenant over to her daughter with Bally High.
Is that what she's doing?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Let me redeem myself.
Okay.
When I watched South Pacific, I was a young girl. I think I was in junior high school, and they were doing it in the high school, in the high school drama department, and I had a relative playing in it.
Yeah.
And so they were playing in it, and I was going to it, and I loved the music of it, but I never watched it again, I don't believe.
The music's beautiful. It's a very nice story because you've got, you know, all sorts of issues in it. You have an older man and a younger woman, a Frenchman and an American, and an American and a Polynesian. I might bring that up downtown when I'm sitting through one of my, you know, when I'm sitting with the symphony folks down there, do a concert version of South Pacific.
I would love to see just a Roger and Hammerstein.
They did that. You know who did that? Reba McEntire did a concert version on PBS of South Pacific.
Really?
Yeah. She played the lead.
I would love to see them do almost a Rodgers and Hammerstein tribute.
Oh, that'd be nice.
And do the great music from them.
That's right.
And bring all the cultures in from the community.
Oh.
Because that would be awesome.
Are you listening to my folks down at the Youngstown Symphony? Down at the Dior Performing Arts Center?
That would be awesome.
I think I'm going to bring
Rodgers
that
and Hammerstein had some very, very intense musical.
We'd like to do some summer stock down there, and what a way to do it! Because you know, we've got the talent here, and I think that'd be a really good thing. We could have a pig roast out in front of the Symphony Center.
A what?
A pig roast.
You can have a pig roast.
Yeah, you can have a pig roast.
You can have a pig roast.
Polynesians, so, you know, you.
I can't see Jeff doing a pig roast.
Why can't you see Jeff doing a pig roast?
I can see Jeff doing a pig, but not a pig roast.
Now, see, I'm glad I came here this morning because I got a good idea to bring downtown at my meeting tomorrow when I'm down there talking with the music mucky mucks.
Mark, you're one of the mucky mucks.
Yeah, they like to think they think I am. I'm just a hack lawyer here.
No, that's not true.
Yeah.
That's not true.
I'm a political hack.
Long for another island.
I cannot do that.
Sure you can.
One where they know they will last be. Bally High may call you any night.
I found out when I sing songs, I make up words.
You could do Nellie. You could play the lead. The name of the lead's Nellie Forbush. You could be Tracy Winbush.
No, she sings too much. That's too much.
You could stand in the shower and wash your hair.
No, that's too much. That's too much. That's too much on air. That's too much. That's too many words.
Too many.
That's too many words. And you guys will find out that with my quest of wanting to sing, that would not be good. Because I'm finding out that, you know, and I guess it's Bally High will find you.
Yes.
Oh, I had my own words.
Valley High will find you where the sky meets the sea.
But you know, I mean, hey, the number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends, and today's my favorite topics, and it's Marx Knows It All. But listen, I make up words when I sing songs.
Yes.
So it was Valley High, I think, Tempura. But you got to also understand, I just found out that Hang On Sloopy was not Snoopy.
Tracy?
What?
It's Hang On Sloopy.
No, it's Hang On Snoopy.
It's not Snoopy.
It was until, it's only been about 3 years that I found out it was not Snoopy.
Ah,
it was
okay.
Hang On Snoopy.
Well, you didn't go to Ohio State.
No, but I do want to congratulate Ohio State for hiring the first African-American president of Ohio State.
All right, there we go.
But I thought it was Snoopy. So I make up words. So when you sing songs, you just, you know, just sing them and just make them up as you go, and it's okay. It's a good thing.
Oh, I'm here looking at the local news over here. We have our pipes didn't freeze here in the Mahoning Valley. I'm so glad.
What do you mean
it
didn't freeze?
It didn't freeze.
With pipes.
It says fewer pipes freezing in Mahoning Valley during latest cold snap.
Oh,
this is
fewer.
This is from,
we had one, and my car went through it, and something is frozen on it.
Yeah. And we're going to get a downtown amphitheater. How exciting.
Where?
Downtown.
Where?
Youngstown seeks forum to design downtown amphitheater. It's right after the story that says Youngstown tax revenue way down.
So where are they going to find the money? Where are the money?
They're thinking about it in the backyard, like everything else in Youngstown. It's down in the basement.
Mark,
they got the money in the basement.
You know I'm going to get in trouble, right? You know that, right? You know they allowed me to be on the Board of Elections, and you know that we gave raises.
No, 3%. I'm afraid to go there. Because,
you know, we gave 3% raises.
Yes.
And they've never asked me my opinion. So I guess my opinion was not important to them.
It was important to me.
But I will tell you this.
I want you to know she told me her opinion.
I plan on standing by my first decision.
Yeah.
So the other three can rescind all they want politically if they want to.
That's what makes America great.
But I'm going to stand by what I believe is right, and what I believe is right is that the people that work for you in Mahoning County deserve 3%. And if you want to know what the 3% adds up to, I think it's less than $20,000 a year for all the employees in the Board of Elections, and I'm not voting on my own raise because I don't get one. And I'm doing some research so that I can validate and I can throw everybody under the bus. So that they can understand that there are people who are automatically getting raises.
Well, I think that the public doesn't know what went on in the county. But I can tell you that, generally speaking, for our local listeners, you should be very proud of your Board of Elections. It's one of the best, if not the best, in the state. And contrary to what you read in the local newspaper, it's not a bunch of political hacks down there. Not at all. These folks are good, hardworking people. They do an outstanding job. And in a difficult political environment, they always make sure that your vote counts.
And for the Vindicator, I hope you're listening to me today. Please do some research, because I'm going down there to do it since you didn't do it, to find out. If you look inside the collective bargaining agreement for the Board of Elections, you will find, not the Board of Elections, but for the county officers, you will find those 3% raises and the Me Too clauses in there. They just weren't voted on publicly by the commissioner. So, I don't want to hear it. I got a chance to watch them on the Sunday newspaper beat their chest over something where they did not dig deep enough. And they demonize a political process that works very, very well in the state of Ohio and Mahoning County.
Yes.
And they beat up the board members, and I'm new. I'm still trying to find the bathroom. But for them to demonize these people that are down there and the job that we do down there and the job that those people that work there, those employees that work there,
and the politics are left at the door down there. We have Republicans and Democrats down there, but they work together and always to make sure that things are done right.
You don't read about fraudulent stuff in our Board of Elections. You don't read about crazy stuff at our Board of Elections. And for them to demonize the process like they did was just sad.
Or back in the day, and I mean back in the day, like 70s, early 80s.
When
where
dead people vote?
Well, dead people would vote, and they'd find the ballots in the back of trunks. Oh, look what we found. They'd walk in with the big box full of paper ballots. Oh, my Lord.
Joyce Kilcesta does a fabulous job as a director. Tom McCabe does a great job as a deputy director there. I mean, if you could actually see, and my goal is hopefully they will let me take a camera in and begin to start filming the process, the procedure, and the off-duty stuff of what it takes to organize, facilitate, and to execute 100-some thousand voters in the Mahoning County.
Yeah, one of the things that surprised me when my son went to work down there is how much is actually involved.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are times when there's less to do, but when election time comes and these guys are working anywhere from 14, 15 hours a day getting done what needs to be done for the election, I want to know where the local newspaper is when that's
they
going
don't,
on.
They're standing there sitting around there waiting for the results to come out.
Yeah.
We don't understand what goes on to organize that effort and to secure it.
And the board of elections is set up that way because of that's how the fathers of Ohio, you know, determined it should be. It is a political entity. Both sides are equally represented down there. Of course, there's going to be political people down there. There's supposed to be political people down there. That's how it's set up to be to operate, and it operates smoothly. And our board operates honestly, and they're thorough. And some of the stuff that is coming out, the work I've seen come out of these folks has just been outstanding, both in terms of explaining to the – finding poll workers to work. That is a major undertaking.
And everything is balanced,
yeah.
At least to the best of our ability. Everything is balanced. You only have – I mean, and this is in every county throughout Ohio. I can't speak to other states. Everything is balanced. You never have one without another.
Yes.
When they go out to vote on people inside of the nursing homes, there's always two.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's just a really good organization. They do good work, and I get tired of seeing
that was just sad.
Yeah,
and watching how they did
that.
They never called and asked for they did all this based upon what they saw and who they talked to, but they and as a board member, they never called me and asked me my opinion.
No. No.
And I was reading Facebook, and I might as well call John Schultz out, call him out on public, because I will tell you this, if I ever go to jail, I'll call him, because I think he's a great defense attorney. But I'm watching him in his remarks on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And you may despise the commissioners, you may despise a lot of things that go on in the county, but for them to throw the four of us, and no matter what you think about Beatrice, Wasto, Monroe, and Winbush, for you to throw us under the bus like that, it was really insensitive.
It's more than insensitive. They imply that the people that work down there are incompetent or
are corrupt,
and that couldn't be further from the truth. Listen, if you want to find that in Mahoning County, call me up. I'll tell you where to go look for it.
Yeah.
But you're not going to see it down there. You know, they've trimmed their staff down. Mm-hmm. They've upped the you know, the people that are running it are know exactly what they're doing. And,
do you know how much time it takes to be on the Board of Elections?
Sure.
You know what they gave me the other day?
What'd they give you?
They gave me Title 35. And do you know what the chairman of the Board of Elections told me if I wanted to be a good board member?
Yeah.
He told me that I needed to read it.
Sure.
Mark.
That's not like reading.
No, it's not an interesting read either.
Yeah.
You lawyers are nuts.
That's why I don't like it. That's why I want to do something else.
You know that you lawyers are nuts.
Yeah, I know that. And I'm putting myself in that category.
That is some of the wallpaper dryness reading I've ever read. And I like politics and I like elections.
Yeah.
That's wallpaper. Just look at it dry. Hey, no yawning here.
I've been up since 4. But I got a long way to go today.
It's a quiet day today.
And, you know, I didn't have my coffee this morning. I fully intended to stop at Dunkin' Donuts and get some coffee and some donuts and bring it in this morning. But you know what?
I'm so proud of you.
I'm 64 years old now. Back in the day, I could get dressed and out the door in 15 minutes. Now it takes me an hour. There's always more trimming, and I move slow.
I'm so glad.
And it hurts.
I'm so glad you didn't. Mark, don't bring donuts in. Did you realize I'm trying to do 50 pounds this year?
Yeah, I know that, but I, you know, instead of donuts, I substituted with liqueur.
Chocolate.
Filled
chocolate. That's not even liqueur. I mean, it is dark chocolate. It's dark chocolate, which is good for the heart.
Yes, I know it's good for the heart. It's also bad for my depression.
And it has
so
liquid
now, I have to go take my antidepressants and my Xanax.
Oh, then you're going to be a Xanax chewing. Mark, it's always great to have you here.
It's always a lot of fun. I love to come here. This is where I
it's
come to
relax. It's
been
a quiet day today because I goofed up, but it's working and we're broadcasting.
What'd you goof up?
I goofed up when I programmed Blog Talk, and so it's not broadcasting out like
okay.
It should.
Okay. That's why we're not hearing some
and
of
so
our
all
friends
those,
here.
So all those wacky people that are out there that usually call in every day, they can get in if they just call us, but they just can't call us.
Well, they're not wacky people. I enjoy talking to
they
them.
They are wacky people.
Well, that's what makes life interesting. Yeah, we have a collection of wacky people all around us. That's how it goes.
It's wacky.
We're never bored. So, Tracy, when are you going to go on this campaign to raise the level of respect for the Board of Elections? When are we going to?
Oh, we're not.
We're not.
No.
Okay.
It's not respect for the Board of Elections. It's just when I see these commissioners, when I see Skolnick, you know, if you know me, I don't bite my tongue too often. And I try to be politically correct as often as I possibly can. I'm just going to tell them. And if you want to get an opinion, then you need to ask all of them.
Yeah.
And then if you think you're doing investigative work, you're not doing investigative work if you only investigate the surface.
Yeah.
You need to dig deeper.
I can say something, but I won't.
Don't.
I won't.
Don't.
I'll be good.
Good.
So, Tracy,
yes?
I want to tell you about my experience at the bank the other day.
Okay.
I have had a trying week with stuff. So I go to I go to a branch of a bank that I don't normally go to, and the bank shall be...
Leave them nameless because I might want to ask them for money one day.
Yeah, we're not going to name the bank. And I had a check. I had a client actually pay me, and I was so excited because that hasn't happened for a while. So the check was made payable to Mark G. Mangi, attorney at law. That's how they wrote the check. Now, I've had an account at this bank.
How many days did they put you on hold?
I've had an account at this bank since 1985, the same account I have used for my office since 1985. When these mega banks weren't there, which has been, I've been through four or five owners of the bank that I made, you know, I had that I've used for my office account for all of these years. And I use it regularly, and I use it daily, and I have never had a problem. I think I bounced a check once about 3 or 4 years ago, and somebody bounced it to me. So I go down to deposit the check, and the name on the account was, if you look at the mailing address, Mark G. Mangi, then underneath it's attorney at law, and my address. That's the mailing address.
Right.
And I went to deposit the check, and I had it stamped on the back, paid the order of Mark G. Mangi with my account number for deposit only. And I walked into the bank, and I gave them the check, and they looked at the check, and the lady at the teller window looked at the check. This was downtown, switching around. She kept looking at the check, 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 and I said, honey, it's not going to change. And then she looked at the computer screen, and looked at the computer screen. Her fingers are going up and down the computer screen. She said, I got five bank accounts with this check. I got various businesses that I do, and my name's on all of them. Then she called somebody else over to look at it, and they start looking at the check again. And they keep looking at the computer screen. And then they called the bank manager over. And there the three of them went and huddled out of earshot of where I was. Then they kept looking at the check, and they kept looking at the computer screen. Finally, the teller comes over to me and says, and I'm there about 10 minutes while this is going on, we can't accept the check.
Why not?
Because the account said Mark G. Mangi. And she said, we can only accept it if you have an account that says Mark G. Mangi, attorney at law.
Huh?
I'm not kidding.
Who writes all that on the line?
I don't know, but they said we cannot accept this check. And then I had to get a little bit nasty, get the check back from them. This was not a pleasant experience, and it put me in a really, really bad mood. Because I was going to say, you know, this happened last Friday. Okay, I was going to say I'm going to take this to the branch I normally go to, and I finally got the check back from them, and I went to my bank, the branch I normally go to, and I said, they're very nice people, and I said, because they were typing stuff into the account.
Downtown.
I think, well, what are they putting on there?
Don't take the check.
So I went to take the check, and first of all, there's nothing wrong with the check. It was a perfectly good check. The check was from PNC. There was money in the account. I mean, it was, you know. It was good. It was a good check. And I just said the name of the bank.
Yeah, you did.
I'm sorry.
But guess what? I knew it.
Okay.
But you did good. That's why you have to have a rapport with your tellers and your bankers and your bank manager.
Yeah. So I went to where I did it. I deposited the check. I said, did they put anything on it? And he said, no, and he rolls his eyes. He said, I have no, I can't control what they do. He said, I know what you're talking about. And, he apologized all over the place. But you know what the real kicker was? On Monday night, I got a telephone call from PNC Bank asking me, how I enjoyed my experience.
Bad call. Bad call. Did you tell them? Did you give them an ear roll?
I tried because I have to tell you, I think PNC is a wonderful bank. Mm-hmm. I enjoy them. They're always good to me. I love their online service.
Listen. They have taken. This is what happens when things get too big. They have taken the banking experience and not made it pleasant any longer. 440, your mic is up.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you, you know, today was actually pretty nice, just hearing the both of you talk. That way I got to hear you, okay? There was no shout-downs, there was no talk-overs, and you ought to do this more often.
I will. You like this, huh? You just get to hear me and Mark just banter back and forth.
Well, you got a couple people that like to shout-down everybody, and it just makes it for a bad experience sometimes, I'm trying to be diplomatic about it. I mean,
I
sometimes I got to shut it down because I can't. I try to hear everybody, but you got a couple there that want to shout down everybody. So, but
well,
it was
I'm working
nice
on
to hear
it.
Both of you today.
I'm working on reshaping the show.
It was really enjoyable today, and I thank you much for it.
Well, thank you for that feedback. And actually, you have any time that you hear anything or you see anything or you have suggestions, please don't hesitate to email me at tracywinbush@gmail.com. I am trying my best to become one of the best talk shows in the country. And I don't want to leave here, but I want our voice to go farther. And so if I can do anything, if you have suggestions that we can make this better, please do not hesitate. My feelings may be hurt for a minute, but I'd rather for my feelings to be hurt for a moment and get the feedback than to not get it at all and just be stupid. Then I'd be a liberal. I had to get that in there, didn't I? Well, am I wrong?
No, you're right.
And it is good. I think we do need to do more like this and banter back and forth so people can understand what we're actually saying about a lot of issues. Because when we were talking about, our feelings about the Republican Party, they do need to deal with people issues. And most Republicans feel the same way that we do about we need to deal with – because Republicans are not rich.
People think we are, and they say that, you know, that the Republican Party is the party of big business. It's not. Barack Obama has probably been the best friend that big business has had in this country in a long, long time. And, Republicans like me, I don't know about
you know, a lot of other folks. But, you know, there's a libertarian strain in the Republican Party, and I tend to gravitate towards that a little bit. I'm a big believer in the individual, of the work of the individual, and the importance of the individual in our country. This collectivism, it works to an extent, and I'm not going to – I work in groups. I work with people in groups on a lot of projects. But I don't want my individualism encroached. I don't want my telephone tapped. I don't want drones watching me drive my car. I want my freedom. This country is built on freedom. And all people are created equal, which means we have equal opportunity and we should be granted equal rights. And what we choose to do with that is up to us. We have to work for it. We've got to go out and work for ourselves and try different things. And it's becoming increasingly difficult to do that in a world that seems to be geared towards big labor, big government, and big business. True Republicans are like us. We're out, small business people, trying to make a living, batting our head against the wall. It's tough. And that's the hope of the country. I think people learning how to do business for themselves, people learning how to work in this. You know, one comment. You know, I'm very active in the arts and culture community, and I want to talk a little bit about what they're doing at Youngstown State University.
Hold that thought.
Okay,
let me take my break.
Sure.
I'll be right back.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. The cold spell has taken a toll on everyone, but a Youngstown family suffered severe injuries from the deep freeze. Police say a 51-year-old Youngstown man had frostbite so bad his clothing and boots were frozen to his skin. Police say he was never exposed to elements outside. Instead, he was inside of his home, but he had no electricity, no running water, and no gas. Officials say his wife and daughter are believed to have hypothermia. The home on North Hazelwood has been deemed uninhabitable by the city of Youngstown. A success for Youngstown municipal judges after more than 17 years of trying to convince city council to upgrade their courtroom facilities. They'll now have a day in court to voice complaints to the state Supreme Court. A hearing date is set for March 17th. And after a year and a half without a contract, nurses at Northside Hospital finally vote on a tentative agreement with Valley Care Hospital Systems. The union was able to negotiate an increase in wages with the hospital. However, the deal is only a one-year agreement. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Attention all healthcare professionals. Is your practice accepting new patients? Are you looking to grow your business? If so, listen to this opportunity. Our radio station, which is part of Cumulus Media, is publishing and distributing 20,000 free local medical guides this spring. It includes a physician's listing, as well as marketing opportunities for your practice. This is a great opportunity for you to attract new patients. Make sure your practice is included in the medical guide. For all the details, call me, Brad Marshall, at 330-779-8127.
Negative online stories about you or your business might take seconds to create, but years to remove. How many customers and sales dollars you will never see due to lies, rumors, and that one disgruntled customer who posted a bad review on the internet? If you want to personally or professionally take control of your online reputation, grab a pen and take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call 1-800-432-9197. When you call, you will get free information on how you can legally fight and potentially bury negative internet postings. With the Reputation Management Program, you can now positively promote your business online. Join the thousands of entrepreneurs and professionals who have already taken control of their Google search results. You're losing money every day when customers pass you by after they read negative info online. Call today to get a free reputation review and start building positive online content. Call 1-800-432-9197 for free info. That's 1-800-432-9197. Hurry, this is a limited time offer. Take control of your online Google search results today by simply calling 1-800-432-9197.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
Hi,
You can't see me because of radio, and I can't see you because I'm totally blind. My blindness doesn't hold me back, but I fight to stay awake during the day because I'm not sleeping through the night. Often I struggle to concentrate and just keep up. Sound familiar? You're not alone. But this is not a sleep disorder. It's actually 924. Learn about the link between total blindness and your symptoms. Visit learnmore924.com or call 855-856-2424.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Well, it is 39 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock here on WSOM AM 600. Before I let Mark give you his information on the arts, I'm going to pull up South Carolina. I think that's not so blind. Mike. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hi, thank you, Tracy. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today? I'm fine, thank you. I want to thank you for the special service you give me. I just dropped in and just heard a public service announcement for a sleep disorder that blind people get because they can't see the sun and synchronize their circadian rhythms.
What? You were listening to the commercial?
Yeah, just now.
And what does it
do? We were hearing the commercials, yeah. And it was really cool because I heard that commercial about a week ago for the first time in the middle of the night when I couldn't sleep. And I go, what the heck's wrong with me? For months now, I've been just like off. I've been up all night. And during the day, I fall asleep in the middle of a conversation with someone. And it was a great public service message because it's a real disorder. If you can't see the sun, many blind people who are totally blind and can't see the sun, their body rhythms get off. And doctors don't know about this disorder. And the gentleman who did the announcement was the blind guy who climbed Mount Everest. And he's going around the country on tour with a doctor from Boston General trying to educate physicians. If you have blind patients with this, don't treat them as insomniacs or as depressed. It's a circadian rhythm disorder.
I would never think about that.
Didn't either. I'm thinking, you know, what the heck's wrong with me? I mean, I could drink an energy drink, and I'd fall asleep 5 minutes later.
Really?
And this is something that's been going on the last few months. And your body goes out of sync, and sometimes it's as little as 2 minutes a day. It's like living with permanent jet lag.
Wow.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And not only so, but thank you because I heard the website he gave out for the first time. I heard it clearly what he was saying because I logged in and the phone is so clear and everything else. And so thank you for that. I like that service. I walk through the door and they do something for blind people. That's great. That's a good show, Tracy.
Not a problem.
So what are you going to do for the wheelchair folks that dial in? You got something planned?
Give me a minute. I'll work on that next week.
One
disability at a time.
Well, you know, we're coming up by noon. What are you doing for the hungry people?
They're going over to Charlie Staples for lunch. Let me start with today's Thursday. You guys can go down to the Village Marketplace too and get lunch.
Uh-huh.
So there's lunch. There's lunch everywhere.
Good food.
I want to let Mark talk about the Arts Council, but before I do that, there is the most adorable Budweiser commercial.
Isn't that a sweet? Oh my
that
goodness!
That is
the,
one of the best. Yeah, I can't wait to see the end of it.
Me too.
And I hate to say this, but I'm liable to watch the Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
Until I get to the commercial and then I'm done. I love that commercial because I love animals.
Yeah.
And the Clydesdale and the little puppy. Oh, that's serious.
Yeah.
It was so cute.
It was. I mean,
that little dog up on the stool kissing that horse's nose.
That's what
oh
I'm saying. That's
my
just, yeah. That is a heart wrencher.
Did you? They showed this morning on Fox News how they made that. They had.
Yeah, what's that?
They had about eight dogs. They taught each dog one thing to do when they're 8 weeks old. Could you imagine training a dog when they're 8 weeks old?
At the end of the commercial, and I'll probably talk about this on tomorrow, but I think the end of the commercial is going to be he's trying to hook up the girl with the guy for
yeah.
beer.
Aww.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
It's a Budweiser commercial.
Yeah.
And she keeps on saying thank you, and, you know, she's a trainer. They live next door, that kind of thing. And the dog and the horse are trying to work these two matchmake. But what about the Youngstown
Arts? I was going to say that the Youngstown State University's College of Communication and Creative Arts
which was the old fine arts department. Their dean over there has really instituted a program geared towards teaching people who are in the arts area, whether you're musicians or artists or dance or theater, the business of arts and culture, because it is a business. It is show business. And that is just one of the best programs I've seen in a long, long time. And in the process, they've melded together, whether it's their engineering department, their metallurgy department, various programs, because a lot of the communication end of it, which is web development, video, and whatnot, is an art form, and they bring these things together. They actually have they're one of the few universities in the United States that has an oven. I'm not talking about a kiln. I'm talking about an oven to melt metal.
Yes.
And it's up on rooftop cables. It's just amazing, and how the departments interact. So it's a really good portend for the future, I think, that this university is taking that approach. They run a series of free programs throughout the year called Arts Mean Business. They've taught about corporations. They've talked about accounting. They've talked about how to hire people, some of the stuff that's involved. They want to make sure that anyone that comes out of there with an arts degree also knows how to make a living, so they know how to feed themselves. It's a really good program. So
wow.
If you're in the area and you're interested in this sort of thing, make sure you give Youngstown State a look, because it's a really, really good program. That's what I wanted to say.
What a great program. You know, Tracy, over the years I've met a lot of artisans and artists that, you know, somebody says, hey, you're really good at that, you ought to do that as a business, and they literally starve, you know, and it discourages them from their art, too, you know, because then they start doubting the quality of their art. Now, what a great program. Brilliant. Just because you're good at one thing.
And I have a lunch with this guy today, so I'm looking forward to talking to him again.
Yeah. But it'd be cool to get some of them on the show someday and see what the program did for them. And
yeah, let's get him on.
I'm going to talk to them about that.
Bill Mullane's going to be on.
Of course, Bill is a big arts and culture guy. He's a wonderful fellow. He's diametrically opposed politically.
I'm not quite sure what we're going to talk about with Bill. Because there's so much we could say.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to him.
He's a great guy, though.
Yeah, he is. That's not the point. I'm not sure what we're going to do with him.
There'd also be a lot of crossover in that. So, like, Tracy, remember you were talking about the backyard shade tree mechanic who's really good at it. How does he turn that into a business and stuff, you know? There's a lot of folks like that that could use that kind of information. It's not just artists.
If you listen to the president's last two speeches, he mentioned Youngstown, where Tracy and I are at, twice in his speeches. And he mentioned something called additive manufacturing.
Correct.
Now, additive manufacturing is basically 3D printing, where you can, you know, you make the parts, and they ship it online, and they can make the part in the machine. And they're treating it as an art, because the basis of the additive manufacturing deal up at Youngstown State is a multi-area project, and a lot of it's based in their fine arts department and
yes,
the McDonough Museum. And this is the future for – this is a good program for the future, and we're very fortunate to have the kind of foresight that knows how to meld all these things together. You know, I gave a speech a few weeks ago. And, you know, and you, if you can draw, then you can make the cars and design houses. You know, if you can do music, you know how to do mathematics. You go right on down the line, and this all comes together because it's our creativity in the United States that makes this country great.
You know what I want to do?
To be able to visualize.
You know what I want to do?
Yes, ma'am.
And this is a dream of mine. I want to be able to partner with a school and do the curriculum differently. I want to, whether it be a charter school, a small school, because I believe I have a formula in my head that would be very, very productive when it comes to education.
Yeah.
I think we need to take a lot from the old school and take a lot from the new school and combine it together. I would turn the school into a 365 day school where it would be year-round. So children would be off in January, but they would go back to school in February and March and April. They'd be off in June, and they'd go back to school so that they would have this year-round school. But it would be very, very it would not be a traditional school in any way, shape, or form. And it would not be a magnet school and or a performing arts school, but it would be a school that where everyone that came out, they would be very, very well-rounded. Because I think that's what's missing inside of our educational system.
Yeah. Yeah. It's we are, you know, we are so fortunate, you know, Tracy, you and me, to live in this area where we have so many creative people who are willing to try things and to make things work, because that's the only way we get ahead. If we can't visualize how things look, if you can't know where point B is, if you're trying to get to point B from point A, you're never going to get there. And we've got the leadership and the facilities here to do this sort of thing, which is one reason why I live here, because it is an extremely stimulating environment, whether it's politically or culturally or business. Anything you want's here.
It keeps you on your toes.
Yeah, and you're never bored because there's so much an opportunity. It's an exciting place to be. I just wish the rest of the country understood it and the assets that we have here.
Did you know that you can buy a 3D printer at Staples?
Yeah, I had heard that.
I went in the other day and I was in the copy department, and you can buy a 3D printer in Staples. It's not you have to know how to program it to get what you want out of it, but you can buy one, and it's about $1,200.
But you look at the just-in-time manufacturing end of it, or the parts that, you know, the parts you need for open-heart surgery, that sort of thing. It's just a phenomenal thing. We're very fortunate to have the Research Center for the United States located here for that.
I wish the president would quit using it as a – because he keeps on – he fell short. I mean, I love him mentioning Youngstown, Ohio in his address. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. But he fell short – in actually talking about what's necessary to be a part of this tech belt.
Yeah.
If you don't prepare for the tech belt, then you will not participate in it. And he's mentioned Youngstown about how great it's doing and the jobs and things that are going on here. But he didn't talk about the people who are still unemployed and hurting still here. And the education. You can't have a school in Youngstown, Ohio, who's in the bottom two.
Yeah.
And it be in Youngstown City.
Yeah.
You can't do that and think that you're actually doing something. And that's what bothers me.
Well, it's tough. I mean, at least he has us classified with the right group, because down in North Carolina, which is the other area that he mentions, that is a heavy duty tech belt there. But you know what? We're junkyard dogs here in the Mahoning Valley, and we are able to pull ourselves up and get moving on this. I'm a firm believer: if you can't blow your own horn,
you can blow it. But see, what's happened is that people are yelling, Youngstown got shout out from President Obama, and I'm like, but if you don't have an education, you can't participate.
No, I know that. But they're not. You can. The point being, I agree with you 100%. But we're the ones that have to rectify that at the end of the day, and because we're not going to get it from him.
No.
You know, so we take what we can get and we work with it, because we're responsible for ourselves, and that is the Republican message, where we pick ourselves up by the bootstraps and we're responsible for ourselves. Give us the tools, and we'll get the job done.
I'll make my own way.
That's right. That's right.
You know James Brown was a Republican.
Really?
No.
We going to play James Brown now?
Absolutely. But James Brown has
I'm not going to download South Pacific. I'll download James Brown.
Why won't you download South Pacific?
Happy talky, talky, happy talk. Talk about things you like to say.
No.
No happy talk?
No.
That's what the president gives us, is happy talk.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, what did you think about the president's speech?
I thought it was it was better than I thought it would be. It didn't have much substance. It was a good feel-good, warm and fuzzy speech. I think he did dial back on some of the divisive rhetoric. I mean, he didn't go into slamming the Republicans and everything else, you know. And I thought it was nice that he recognized that Ranger, the veteran who was disabled, who was injured. But also that was a sad moment because, first of all, I'm sure the Ranger was tremendously embarrassed by the attention like that. He was kind of used, okay? And the guys in the military aren't just not into that. And I thought it was also sad commentary on the war itself that this man was injured on his 10th tour.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
I mean, the president who lives in luxury only serves two terms. And to let the kid go back, it just shows the politicians are running the war and the veterans out there. Man, we owe them so much, but the first thing we owe them is an apology because this country's just gotten crazy with the politicians run wars, not the generals.
But you know what? I'm going to, tomorrow, I want to bring up the military pay.
Fit family.
I'm going to bring that up tomorrow because I have issues, and I don't know if you guys know how many issues I really have. But when I look at how much you get paid for combat duty and what we pay our officers and what we pay our congressmen, I got issues.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
I got issues, and so I want to bring it up tomorrow because I only have a few more minutes. I got about three more. I got about a minute and a half, and it'd be that's a discussion for when we're going to fight and talk about everything going on. But
life insurance benefits, all kinds of stuff. Man,
yeah, veteran benefits. I'm going to continue to harp on this. I think that's going to be my 2014, you know, issue because it's just bad. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling in today. I appreciate you. And, Mark, always glad to have you.
I'm always glad to come. And I got to talk to that wonderful lady from Detroit this morning.
Yes, her name is Pamela Denise Mack, and she is the author of My Name is Judah. And you can find it on Amazon.com, and you can find her on Facebook. My Name is Judah, and like her on Facebook. She's a fabulous person, and she also has a foundation called Jeremiah's House. And it is for private adoption. She helps fund private adoption because it's very, very costly. And I don't think you understand it. When you go and you want to adopt your cousin, and its cousin is an infant, and that's called a private adoption. Grandma's not private, but cousin is. Auntie is. And trying to pay for, you know, keeping that child and getting that child a good home because a teenager has that child, you'll find out that it's very, very difficult for you to do that. So they help fund those. And so give, like her on Facebook.
Great program.
Follow what she's doing. It's a very, very diverse book. It's a Christian-based book. It talks about Judah. It talks about praise and how kids can play together, praise God together, witness to one another, be diverse in their outcomes, and just have a child moment. God bless you. Have a good day. And let me tell you, James Brown was a Republican.
listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News of Alex Stone. What's that falling from the sky in California? Rain. This is ABC's Amy Hollyfield in San Francisco.
Happy to see the rain finally here, especially when you consider we are on track to have the driest January in Northern California on record.
California getting pounded by a drought. Susan Bianchi owns a farm.
Truly, this affects all of agriculture. It's going to affect the beef producer and the pork producer and the sheep producer and all the way down. It's going to be a trickle down to all of agriculture.
Snow falling around Tahoe today. President Obama hitting the road for a post-State of the Union tour.
The end.